Blog Talk Radio.
We are here tonight, Thursday night, to be with you, and another Life of Faith talk show, where we actually do it more than talk about it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. Let's go here. So good to be with you here tonight, our lovely family, CJ family. So grateful and thankful for everybody. Thank you for all you do and your prayers. We love to throw the book sick. And it's really awesome to have you and be a part of, you know, the prophetic realm. It's just so really, really cool. And anyway, we're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully you are in the mood for the prophetic, because that's what we do. And so it's going to be awesome, one way or the other. Going to jump in there and go at it. All right, let's get everything going here. All right. Okay. Deal. Get video going here and jump in there and go for the big one tonight. See what God is saying, what he's doing, and believe in God for new things. For God to get us to enter into the new. We want to enter into the new completely. And we're going to believe God for that all the way around. All right. All right, we're here to do it and be a part of it. So let's jump in there. And see what the Lord's saying tonight to us. And we welcome the Holy Spirit tonight to come in among us and do his thing, whatever he wants to do. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your love for us. For showing us what you want to do and where you want to go and how you want to do it. And we're here to do that with you. We'll be out for a new studio soon and very soon. So be praying for that. We are looking. We're looking more for land than we are just for building. So that's one of the things we think that we're doing. We're looking for land. And land that we could, do a lot of stuff with. Land that we can build on. Land that we can expand on rather than just having a building on there. So there's all kinds of property in the area, and we're looking little by little into it to see, what God would have us to get into. So be praying for us about that, if you would. So we're going to open up, our hearts and begin to let the Lord teach us how to look. We're learning how to look. And how to receive from him. And it's really, really a big thing to receive. One thing to give, it's a whole other thing to receive. All right? I got people sending me things on land and all kinds of things. Really, really interesting. Sending me stuff all the time. The land is going pretty quick, so it's kind of a new thing for this to be happening across the at least across Texas. I'm not sure what's going on in your area, but in here, it's really happening. The land is being sold for, outrageous amount. And so, you know, what we're going to do is going to believe God. And we're still doing that. All right? So believe with us, if you would. Pray with us. And we're, like I said, we're changing our bylaws, having our bylaws changed, having some legal people work on that. So, so join in with us on praying about that. We don't want to limit ourselves to anything. We're believing God to step into the future, prepared for any kind of ministry that God wants us to do. And we believe it's going to happen. We're opening up the door for our TV station, not just a studio, but a TV station and radio station and university, the whole thing. That's kind of the bigger things, but there's more. So letting you know what's going on about that, pray about that. We're actually changing our bylaws and everything, all kinds of things. So, yeah, really, really cool. And God is good all the time, for sure. Okay, we're going to get into tonight. I don't know. We're going to see what goes on, see what the Lord has for us tonight. We are have so much stuff going on. God is so good and revealing so much to us that we don't know what to do with all of it, honestly. And that's the truth. There's so much revelation that God's showing us. So, all right, we've been, you know, doing a little bit of debating on the show a little bit, you know, talking about some things. I've been enjoying that. And hopefully we are doing good on our end. And Deborah says, I'm certain the Lord will do something profound and significant with land building. Land and building. Yeah, thank you, Deborah. All right, Deborah does our shows on Tuesdays, and thank you for that word. We're really believing God. Okay, Paulette, let's pray for Kayla. I just saw that, Paulette. Thank you for getting that to me. Pray for her daughter. We're sending a prayer request in as we go here. Thank you for that. All right, very, very cool. Okay, so we are opening up the doors for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, it's just really cool, really, really, really cool. So, yeah, just pray that, you know, we're seeing a lot of our hosts that are doing shows, been doing shows for a while. They're all getting houses and land and property, and it's just amazing, right? So maybe they're preparing the way for us. I don't know what it is. But I know one thing, it's in the working. It's literally in the working, and we are in the process of walking into Canaan land. You know, I think we're actually there in some ways, and in some ways we're, you know, working our way through things. But so anyway, we're going to get a hold of this stuff, and God's going to show us what he wants to do and how he wants to do it and provide the way. I look, every time I look around, I look for, you know, yes, some kind of deal, some kind of, you know, somebody sends something in the mail. I'm looking for it to be, you know, I'm looking for money, lots of money to come in just maybe from a source that we don't even know. And we've had some of that just happen just recently. People that have found out what we're doing with the Body of Christ, with PGN Body of Christ, investing for them and using the gift that the Lord has given for the market, which they are very familiar with. They've experienced it, and they know that it's very, very real. And they decided that this person decided to invest in it, and without giving us cash, a good little bit of cash here, and not a little bit, really, but depending on what you call a little bit, but it was a good amount of cash. And that happened today. Got that in today. That actually already happened. So it's exciting. I mean, things are going on, and that money is for. They're planting a seed, though they are not part of it. They are planting a seed into the fact that we're doing this. And they want no tax write-off of their money. They don't want anything. It was just one of the coolest things. You can see what's going on, the generosity of the Lord, of God's people. And these are not even really the PGN people. I mean, they've been familiar with the ministry for a long time. But they, you know, they want no tax write-off, just planting this seed because we want to. And, friend, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know, what do you say about that? I just say hallelujah. It's just amazing. It's just mind-boggling. All right, mind-boggling. Yeah. So, all right, let's go here and see what the Lord has for work tonight. I don't know what we're going to do exactly. Where we're going to go as far as the revelation time. And all right, I had something here I wanted to share, and I kind of tried to slip my mind here. I've got so many things that I want to share. Yeah, one of the things that I want to talk about is I want to take communion tonight, right? So I want to kind of share this a little bit that we're looking at getting people healed and delivered. Creating an environment where people who have sins that, if they confess those sins, they will get thrown in jail. If they confess those sins, the reason a lot of people don't confess, get things out in the open that are because they're against the law. And a lot of perversion things that go on, even within the body of Christ, with people who are just in bondage, they can't get it out in the open because if they do, they get thrown in prison. They get thrown in jail because it's against the law. So how do we help those people? I mean, it's just a really frustrating thing. And I have a real passion to help people that have things going on like that can't tell anyone, because if they do, it's just not only will most of the body of Christ look down on them severely and judge them, kind of like what happened with, Jim Baker, if you saw the Jim Baker movie, the Tammy Faye movie. If you saw that, I don't know if you did or not, but I went and saw it and just to learn from it, and very, very interesting. But, you know, a lot of people hide their sins and they can't get free of them. They're not getting help with it because if they dare open up about it, you know, if the body of Christ has a real thing about that particular sin, then they're not going to be able to get it out in the open, friend. They're going to be going around really wanting to be free of it and struggling with it. It's overwhelming. It takes them down all the time. They need help with it. But if they open up and talk about it, they take a chance on losing their family, being thrown in prison. You know, so this is a real thing, and I'm going to talk about this soon. I'm doing a lot of research on this, on actual evidence that I have. My Holy Spirit is telling me about some of the things that are going on, and why people can't get that help, and why they're locked out of getting help because of that very thing I'm talking about. So as we take communion tonight, I want to know there's so many different things that we want to deal with, and that's one of them. But we can have a throne room type thing where people can have counselors or confession, you know, people that they can confess to that are sworn that if they, you know, tell anyone that they'll be thrown in prison. You know, so it can be kept totally private, totally secret, that no one can ever know, except them and the person they're confessing to, so that they can feel free to get it out into the open and be healed and cleansed and worshiped. Friend, this is a thing in the body of Christ that keeps a lot of people hiding their sin, not because they want to hide it, but because they can't get it out of the open because they'll be, like I said, they'll be thrown in prison. It's not about people even looking down on them. But, it's not about that. It's more about the legal realm of it. And so you can see how the world is trying to take care of the situation, like what they've done with marijuana. They've done marijuana, what they were probably going to do with a lot of sin, a lot of things that are not good. Like the drug, like people being busted and put in prison for smoking dope, long-term sentences, which I think is a little bit crazy, maybe real crazy. And then the selling of marijuana and the whole thing, it's just a real culture of money, and they're not, because there's so much money there, it produces a lot of greed and murder and all kinds of things, you know, wheeling and dealing and lying and stealing the whole thing, the mafia type situation. And so what do? They legalize it. So they think that's the answer, is legalizing it. And so we're going to see this go on in the Antichrist system as the Antichrist system begins to come forward. That's the way they're going to deal with things, is in an anti-Christ way, or a way that's not in the Bible, or a way that's not of God. They're going to deal with it like that. So we got to be prepared for that. And I'm trying to warn you now that they're going to start legalizing all kinds of sexual perversion, as we know they're already doing, same-sex marriage, is become a real thing in the U.S. Of course, abortion's been there for a long time. In Texas, that's been changed. Thank God for Texas. Thank God I live in Texas. I'm thankful that I live in Texas. And so there's things changing in some ways. We're going to see a real separation, between the states, as we're already seeing with the vaccine situation, the mandates, all that's going to create. God is allowing it, and he's allowing he's causing the president of the United States, Joe Biden, and their administration to force people to do things because – now you have to understand why this is happening. All right, you all ready for this? The forcing of this is going on so that it will force us into making decisions to separate ourselves from it. Not that the vaccine – I'm not against the vaccine. I'm not taking the vaccine because I don't take vaccines. I don't take the flu shots. I don't take anything. So far by the grace of God, I've been healthy. I take communion every day. To stay right with God, and just eat really good most of the time, and so I take care of myself. So I'm blessed, but I'm not going to take the vaccine. But I'm not against it. I haven't heard God tell me anything really, really bad about it. He hasn't told me anything about it, actually. And so I think they're going to the people that are speaking out against it are extremists. Even some of the people that I think are really awesome people are talking about the vaccine in extreme fashion. And so we're going to see a lot of that play out. But what's happening is that it's all everything you're looking at with forcing the mandate, the whole thing, it's going to force a division in America. That's what it's doing. And when you start seeing the purpose of it, yes, we need to pray against it. Yes, we need to do all this stuff, of course, and fight. But we need to make sure we're fighting the right fight and not just fighting to fight. But what the system does, they provoke you to fight just to fight. Right? To fight, just to fight. So if they can get you in a fight, then they're going to whoop you, even though they're wrong, and you're right, they're going to whoop you because they're getting you to fight with your own power, your own strength. And therefore, you're going to lose. You will lose. I will lose. You will lose. You can't fight this system that's coming in the flesh. It has to be fought in the spirit, by the Spirit of God's guidance. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to find this out real soon, that if they don't start listening to the prophets who are hearing from God, some have erred for a while. They'll be erring for a while until they get over the Trump thing and the Biden thing, but the election. So even a separation came out of that. God has started to separate out and show what's of him and what's not. What's of conspiracy theory that's crazy and what people are calling conspiracy theories that are really correct, that are really right. Some of them are some right. About them. We're good. All that's going to be separated out. It's going to take a few years down the road, but by the time it comes to fruition, you're going to see a complete division in states like Texas. You see Texas raising up. It's my state, so I know more about it than I do any other state. So if your state's doing this, that's awesome. But Texas is rising up, and you see what they're doing with abortion. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. It's amazing, actually, what it is. So we're going to see this be the pattern for the next few years. They're going to start, the system people are going to start demanding more. We're going to start resisting more. The thing that we need to make sure we do is that we resist correctly by the Spirit. In other words, they want us to resist. They want us to resist wrongly, in the wrong way. If they can get you to resist in the wrong way, they're going to nail you. That's the whole point we're trying to talk. When they get you to resist and you resist because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God and the Word of God is guiding you and leading you, and I'm going to tell you something right now. If they don't start listening to the real prophets, the true prophets, the ones that have the vein of revelation for what's going on right now, if they don't listen to the prophets who have the new era revelation of what God's doing, if they listen to those who are still stuck in the old, And they listen to them, they're going to go down. The blind are going to lead the blind. They're going to fall into it. That's what's going to happen. So we're going to see a separation out in many different ways. One of them is the system people of the one world system, which they're forming, and the system, the new system that God is raising up and about to provide some financial wealth for that, is going to come out of Egypt, or it's going to come out of the system, just like the money that came out of Egypt to the Israelites and Egypt. That's the perfect example of what's about to happen. Almost perfect. The principle of it is perfect. So the money shouldn't. So you have to understand, we don't want that dirty money. Well, that dirty money is not their money. That money is God's money, and he could, just like he took it out of Egypt from the Egyptians, you know, which they were not godly, right, and give it to the people of God, or took it. They actually took it. If you listen long, you know what we're talking about when I say that. So what we are about to see, friend, is the separation out. And as we become separated out, we're going to see God give us wealth. Not wealth to just go, look what I got. It is wealth to provide for the new system that God is putting, just like when Israel came out of Egypt, they were forming a new nation. They had never been a nation before. They had families, but they weren't a nation yet. That's why God brought them to Egypt. They walked out with the wealth, was to have a currency of gold and silver, you know, cloth, to go out and take it into Canaan land so that would be their currency. They used it to build their temple, right, which was part of the thing. Just like we got to remember today, part of your money is to build the temple, man. Part of your money that God gives you, just like in Egypt, is not all of it, just a small portion of it from each person. It's used to build, to buy the land, to buy the property, to purchase the building, whatever it is. That's what you're – so if everybody does what God says, then it's going to work. But if you got people that decide to just not do that, and they're going to keep God's money for themselves and do whatever they want to with it, well, they can, but it's not going to be good for them. But to those who do what God says, that's what that money's for. A portion of that money is for, like back in the day when they built the Ark of the Covenant, that gold, the gold. You know where that gold came from? It didn't come from some rich person. It came from a little bit of everybody's earrings and nose rings and that they, you know, what they call earrings and bracelets and stuff that came that the people of God offered up and said, here, I got five of these. I'm going to give you one of them. Here, I got 30 earrings. When I went to my neighbor and asked for the gold and silver, they gave me 30 earrings. Half of them are gold and half of them are silver. I'm going to give you like five of each. Yeah. So that gold and silver was what built the Ark of the Covenant, much less all the other things that were built. It all came from the people that came out of Israel, out of Egypt, when Israel came out of Egypt. That's where that came from. It came out of a, you know, in a sense, a Babylonian system or an Egyptian system that was ungodly. And we're about to see that happen. That exact thing is about to happen in a little bit different way, but same thing. So the end result is going to be the same thing. So if we don't start preaching this kingdom message properly, and what's actually going on in reality with God and what God is saying by listening to, I don't know how many people have this message. All I know is that I have this message. Other people may have, they may have gotten this about what's going on with Biden. I don't know who has. I don't think anybody. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm the only one, but sometimes it feels like that. So whatever is going on with that, I know I'm getting revelation about it specifically, which began with the Biden revelation and why he's allowing that, why God chose that to be. When you see that, you see, when you get your eyes open to that, you start seeing where we're going, how we're going to be blessed, how we're going to be a new nation. We're going to be a brand new nation, if you will. And God's going to provide wealth for that. It's going to be amazing. So we can build, you know, build buildings that are going to go into the millennium. And we've got to start, you know, as God can help us, start thinking like that, start thinking clearly. Clearly isn't just coming up with a good idea that's in the Bible. Clearly is what God is saying, of course, that comes from the Bible, right? So when you start seeing what's really going on, what's happening, then, you know, you start coming into agreement with it instead of having all these other ideas that are made look like really good ideas, but they're just diversion strategies to keep you from preparing and getting ready and entering into your place and getting the blessings of God to get your land, get your house, get your buildings, get the church building, build the temple of God, you know, build the place. I can see now why God is he got me started with my juices flowing toward a building, and I didn't sign a contract, the whole thing. And now, make all for short, we're actually looking for land instead of just a nice building, which we had. Looking at and loved it, but there was no property around there. There's a lot of noise right near the freeway, and the noise was there all the time. Every time I went there, the noise was so overwhelming.
So, but it got me stirred up, and now I'm seeing why God wants us to have property and land, because it's not just about getting something for now to be used for the end times. It's to be used for the end times and, you know, move on into the millennium. That's what all this is about. That's what we're preparing for. So when you prepare properly and you hear the kingdom of God message properly and hear what God is saying, why Biden is president, not because the devil got out of control, you know, like some people say, oh, that we bind the devil. Now, that's God. God, you can't bind the sovereignty of God, right? But what's about to happen to us? Oh, my gosh. When you see how they're simultaneously going to come into fruition, it's going to blow your mind if you can get your eyes. We're going to take communion tonight, and hopefully you'll be able to have your eyes open to that a little more, and a little more, a little more. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know everybody wants to all come to save the land and all that, but it's just not going to happen. God's not going to allow it. So if you're thinking that, and I'll be hurting your feelings right now, but I hurt your feelings in love. I hurt your feelings as a prophet. And Paul the Apostle said, you know, I'm sorry I said it, but I'm not sorry I said it. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's what Paul the Apostle said about a lot of things. And so, anyway, there you go. So we got to get a hold of this thing and realize where we're going so that we can come into agreement with what God's doing. And therefore, God can fund you with money, fund you with favor, fund you with what you need, because you're catching hold of the kingdom of God message for now. And when you get a hold of that, you're going to find yourself prospering. As long as you're going back and forth with, oh, we want Donald Trump, we want this, we want that. I mean, I love Donald Trump, man. You hear the latest thing he said? It was really cool. He's just a fighter, man. That's why I like him. I'm a fighter, too, but he's a fighter. You know, they're trying to get him for insurrection. You know, they're dealing all this insurrection stuff, saying that on January the 6th, he, you know, brought forth insurrection against the United States government. And so what he's saying to them now, I love this. I love the way he does this. He says, well, if anybody's got insurrection, it's Joseph Biden. If anybody's doing insurrection, it's when they, you know, he says that they, you know, stole the election by, you know. So I just love the fact that he just comes right out and just says, you know, he didn't go, okay, I'm sorry. I won't say it anymore, even though I still believe it. I'm not going to say it anymore. I'll be nice. He doesn't do that at all. That's what I love about it. He just comes right out even stronger. Oh, if anybody's done insurrection, it's that crew over there, the Democrats, you know. They did it, you know. It's just like the way he fights. That's why I love him so much. And believe me, I wish he could be, you know. There's a reason why he can't be a part of it. I've talked about it a little bit, but you have to get a hold of it. You're going to have to get a hold of it. I like it too, man. I like the fighter in him. Are you kidding me? But he'll get you to fight in the wrong way. That's the problem. And because he's a good fighter. But anyway, so that's what's going on. So we're going to see a transition of how things work, where the money's going to come from, and it's all biblical. It's all, in the blood of the doorpost. If you've been with us many years, you know what goes on with that. That our currency came after the last plague, after the angel of death passed over. They went and got their currency. That's what that was all about. God brought death on all the Egyptians, so they'd be scared to death that they were all going to die. So when they knocked on the door, they walked out with the gold and silver, made it easy. God prepared the way for that. What a way to prepare the way for something that's, oh, my gosh. You got to think about that. That's some pretty rough stuff right there. But it's just the way God did it, man. So you have to get used to it. All right. Hallelujah. All right, so we are going all different kind of places tonight, and hopefully you're understanding what's being said tonight. I hope you are. If you're not into that yet, maybe you will be soon, we hope. But you're not going to try to force you to do it. Sometimes I get a little bit bossy. You know, maybe, I don't know. Some people think I get bossy, but, you know, I understand where they're coming from. I feel like I get a little bossy sometimes too, but you know, so just be patient, right? Because I'll be saying, I'm not sorry I said that. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm sorry I said it. I meant it, but I'm sorry I said it. And that's what Paul the Apostle did. I couldn't believe it when I saw that in Scripture. It reminded me of me. I said, man, that guy was a wimp. He was real, and then he would say, man, you know, I'm sorry I came across so strong, but I'm not sorry, because it worked repentance, right? Yeah. All right. People are giving their offerings tonight. Thank you for that. I'm trying to get them registered here. Y'all give me a minute. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving tonight. Hang on a second. All right. If you want to give tonight, you can do that. If you don't, if you go to my old site and you can't get in there, the site is actually working now. We finally worked out the details on that. There's a lot of that stuff going on right now. So if you want to give tonight, let me know, and I'll send you the link if you don't have it, or I can send you the PayPal link or whatever link you want. People have been asking for it. All right. So there you go. This is for the first time. We're very spontaneous. We're very just kind of like we just take our time and go at it, and so it's really, really cool. You can get used to it, you know. We spend 2, 3, 4 hours, going through stuff. So all right. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, people are texting me right now, and I'm trying to answer them while we do all this stuff. Thank you for that. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we are trying to share with you kind of the overall nutshell version of what we believe, where we're going, and all that. So if you're not used to that, if you're a first-time listener and you're thinking, I've never heard all that before, yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. When you get a hold of it, it's actually pretty cool. So hopefully you'll be able to get a hold of it and grow in the Lord with us, and we will look forward to, being with you and you learning about the prophetic, how it really works. So praise God. All right. Be patient with me, and as I got a lot of people wait till right to the show because they work or whatever, they can't get on. Some people the time zones are different, and they can't get their offering in earlier for payroll reasons and different things. So we kind of get things going as we go. So thank you for that. And we are registering them as we speak right now. That's what I'm doing. All right. Okay. Thank you. If you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. We can give you the link if you want to give. Problem there. Right. Okay. Also, we're going to take communion tonight. If you're a communion person, if you like communion, we are communion people. We take communion every Thursday. So let me get my communion here. And we're going to take communion with you. And we're going to believe God to open up our eyes to what's really going on in the body of Christ so that we don't get blindsided by looking one direction, people having us looking one direction when everything that's going on is going a whole different direction. So you have to listen a little bit and don't just jump to conclusions, but you have to listen a little bit and kind of give it a minute, give it a little time, let the seed grow up in you, and then once the seed starts growing up in you, you start understanding what's really going on. And so as a prophet, we give a prophet's perspective. And sometimes it's completely different than what most other people are saying. All right? So get used to that. Kind of shake people up sometimes a little bit. But if you can get a hold of it. All right, one thing I want to say about the prophetic realm real quick, and then we're going to move on. God will show me this today. You know, there's a big difference between confessing the word and a prophetic word. Like, when God gave me the word about, give me words about the market, to say about the market, when I got a word one time, you know, several years ago, that in 32 weeks, it's going to be 3,200. In 32 weeks, it will be 3,200. That's the exact word that I got. And so from that very day, 32 weeks, it happened. Well, did I go around confessing that over and over and over again to make it happen? No. In fact, you know, even though I spoke it and made it public, you know, my going around confessing it and saying, you know, this is going to happen. I guarantee you, God told me it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so, you know, as a prophet, you when you do that, it really does no good. It has nothing to do with bringing the word to pass. Because let me tell you something, friend. When God has a word he's going to bring to pass, he doesn't need you and me to faith confession it. Right? Faith confession, and in most cases, has to do with keeping yourself built up so that you don't give up during the hard time, like Sarah and Abraham. You know, God kept having to come along and say, well, okay, he's getting discouraged. Been, you know, 15 years, still no kid. You know, you told me 15 years ago you're going to have. So he takes him out and shows him the stars and shows him the seashore, and he says, as the sand of the seashore, your children are going to be like that, and as the stars in the sky, can you even count them? And Abraham goes like, no, I can't count them right now. He said, that's how your seed's going to be. And even though he still didn't have any children for you know, 10 years after that, he, you know, he needed encouragement, you know, not because God's word wasn't going to come to pass if he didn't have encouragement. The word was going to, could come to pass anyway, in a sense. But in this case, he needed Abraham to keep believing because it had to do with him and Sarah having a baby. So in that case, you know, when it comes to two people being involved in the work in the past and they have to stay married, they have to stay together, they have to, you know, they can't give up because when God finally came and told him, he says, now's the time. Now you're going to go get together and you're going to, you know, have a sexual relationship, you know, they were past bearing children. Abraham's seed was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. You know, there was no way. And yet, so they had to stay encouraged enough in that case for the word to come to pass. But it wasn't about faith confessing it to make it happen. It was faith confessing in the sense to keep them encouraged so that they wouldn't give up on the word. And some people don't understand that. They think that they're responsible for making the word come to pass. Right? Like when I had heard the Lord say, it's going to be 32, it'll be 32 in 32 weeks, 3,200 in 32 weeks. And so, you know, and that's exactly what happened. And I didn't even remember, you know, I wasn't keeping up with it enough, and somebody else was, other people were that were, you know, investing in it. And they texted me, they or emailed me back in the day. They said, well, you know, did you know that it turned 3,200 exactly in 32 weeks? I said, no. Well, go look. And so I knew how to look. So I went on the charts and I'm looking and go, oh my gosh, it did that exactly. I mean, you know, I was like, but I wasn't over there faith confession in the name of Jesus. This thing's going to happen. It's going to be 32 in 32 weeks and 3,232 weeks going to be. The thing came to pass and I'm not even over there. You know, for the most part, I've gone on to a lot of other things. Right? And the word came to pass because it was God's word. Right? That had nothing to do with me and somebody having a baby, you know, whoever, like Abraham and Sarah. It wasn't like two people getting together and having a child. And in that sense, God had to keep them encouraged, to keep them married, to keep them, you know, in believing God, so that when God finally came and told them, okay, go get together and have relationship, have that sexual relationship tonight, and when you do, you're gonna get pregnant and you're gonna bear a child. Okay. Yeah. So
during the show, I'm doing this stuff.
All right, I'm going to do that in a minute. It's going to take a minute to do that. Thank you for that. I'll go to Zelle and find that. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate that. So we're going to be talking about this soon, because we need to understand, yes, faith confession is important, but what's it important for? Is it to make the thing come to pass? No. No, it is not. Faith confessions are to keep you encouraged and built up so you don't give up on it and just walk away from it completely. It's like with the 32, it's going to be 3,200 in 32 weeks. You know, I mean, that thing came to pass and I wasn't even paying attention to it. And it came to pass exactly. If you go look in the charts of the market right now, and you can see that the date it started, and in 32 weeks exactly, it was 3,200. And I have, you know, documented proof that I gave that word. People that I gave the word to, you know, and I gave it to everybody, but that when they called me up, they emailed me and said, you know, did you know that thing is come to pass? Exactly. I said, no, really? Yeah, it went up 3,200 points in 32 weeks. Exactly, Randy. I said, oh, my God. They said, you haven't noticed? I said, no, let me go look at it. See, and I wasn't even, like, over there trying to work it, trying to, like, come on, Jesus. No, I find that 32 is going to be, it's going to be 32 and 30. It had nothing to do with anything. So what God wants us to understand is that how faith confession is important, but to have it understand why it's important. It does not make the word come to pass when it's a word from God. Right? God's going to bring it to pass. Now, if he needs you to be at a certain place in a certain town, like if he wants you to go to Israel and you have to have the money to get to Israel for the word to come to pass, to go meet the people, and God says in 1 year exactly, you're going to meet this person in Jerusalem, you're going to meet him at the Wailing Wall, and when you do, they're going to give you, you know, what you need for the time of your life that you're in. So you've got to be able to get to Jerusalem, and when it comes to a year later, you got so much stuff going on, you're so busy, and you think, well, I don't have time to go. Well, if you don't have time to go meet the people, if you don't go meet them, then nobody can hand them that document or whatever you're trying to get from them that's going to bring the word of the Lord to pass. You have to be there to get it. So your confession doesn't make that happen. That person showed up with their part of the deal, but you got discouraged and you gave up, and then they were looking for you all day long. All night long, you didn't show up, and so they're going like, well, he gave up, I guess. Yeah, I don't know what happened. So you can miss it, though God did his part, but the reason you need faith confession in that sense is to keep yourself built up so that you won't get discouraged. Hey, you know, that ain't going to happen. That's just too crazy. That's not going to happen. See what I'm saying? So we're going to get into that in the coming weeks. To understand, yes, faith confession is important, but to understand what it's really for in the Bible, what it's for, and from the perspective of the Word of God, so that you're not over there pumping that word, thinking that you're going to make it happen. No, it's about you. It's about keeping you built up. It's about keeping you, you know, in line with what God's doing. So you can be there when God says, "Be there." You know, or be square, and if you're not there, then you be square, because you didn't show up when God said, because you got discouraged and said, well, you know, there ain't no way that can happen. The economy won't allow it. You know, people aren't going to do that. Nobody's going to bring me that thing, and you know, I mean, that's just too crazy. That's too supernatural. That's not going to happen. And so, because you didn't keep yourself built up, meditating on that word day and night, keeping yourself strong, then when it came time to go do that thing and meet that person or whatever it is, you didn't go, and then you blame. You know, then we can't blame God for sure, right? Because you know who gave up? We gave up. So that's really, really important, and to really come to the place to where we understand the power of the faith confession, because it is important. It is powerful, but it's not what we think. And what has happened is
I noticed this with the election with Biden and Trump, because there was quite a bit of turmoil going on with all that, that I listened to Ken Copeland, because I know he's I check in with him to see what's going on. I watch his show, or the show that he represents. And you could tell they were like strong faith confession person. He thinks he confessed it long enough, it'll come to pass. And so I listened to that, and I'm going like, they have moved the faith confession teaching into the prophetic, thinking that they can make a prophetic word come to pass because they chose something out of the Word. It's in the Bible, but they picked it out of the Word, kind of felt good about it, and they confessed it long enough, and it's going to make it happen. Well, they did that with Trump. It didn't work. They had millions of people believing it. They even will tell you, we have millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people who are believing this. It cannot not happen. There's too many people saying it's going to happen. Well, friend, it didn't, and it's not going to. That's the sad part. Because they didn't catch it. And so the point I'm trying to make is that the faith confession realm, the hyper-faith confession realm, has taken that to the prophetic realm, thinking that you can get a good word out of the Scripture that you feel good about, and if you say it long enough, quote it long enough, confess it long enough, pray and fast over it long enough, it's going to come to pass. That does not work. That doesn't work. Faith confession has a whole different manifestation to it and a purpose for it, and we're going to be talking about that so that you can get that straight. We can get that straight. We can get it lined up. All right? Okay. Let's get ready to pray. I'm going to look up something here. Somebody sent me a thing. I've got to stop everything here and look up. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay, give me a minute here as I do this, and I'll be right back with you. Get ready for communion. We're going to take communion here in just a moment. We'll get ready for all that. Okay. All right, I can't do that right now. I've never done it before, so I'm gonna have to wait. But I got your offering money there, Michael, Mike, and Veronica. Thank you for that. 150 and then 10. Thank you. I'm gonna put that in here. Thank you very much, and then I'll go to it and get it later. Thank you so much. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go here and. Mike and Veronica, thank you very much. Hallelujah. I got it registered. Thank you. And then I'll go do the count and get that going on later. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's get ready to take communion. If you want to get your communion ready tonight, friend, we will do that. And God is good. I'm going to believe God for miracles tonight. God, open up your eyes. Open up my eyes. To the Word of God, that we can get our eyes open to what God is doing now, so you won't waste your time getting caught up into wars and rumors of wars, right? And there not really be anything going on with that, but everything's happening in a whole different manner, and so you don't want to miss your visitation. And that's what we're talking about, is missing that visitation from the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. Let's open up our Bibles, if you would, and go to the New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. All right. Lift your cup up, lift your bread up, and let's get ready to do this together tonight. Thank you, Jesus. This is all for us to do a financial blessing, because you remember, real quick, to remind you that Passover, what did Passover do? They put the blood on the doorpost, which was going to drink his blood. They ate unleavened bread. But also, after that, what did they do? Moses said, go to your neighbors. After the angel of death passes over you, and go to your neighbors and ask them for the gold, the silver, and the cloth. That became Israel's currency. And the thing is that God wanted everybody to have a testimony. Here's what I want you to hear about this. God wants everybody to have a testimony.
He doesn't want 90% of the people have testimony, 10% not, about something. So in this particular case, what God was doing is he was giving, letting each Israelite person, you know, wealthy, poor, it didn't matter. All they did was they went to their neighbors and they asked for gold and silver. And so when they went and did it themselves, when they went to the neighbor, not their cousin, not Moses. Moses didn't go for them. They didn't have the priest go for them. They went themselves, knocked on the door. They said, "What do you want? We got dead people in here. My firstborn child is born. My husband dead. He was a firstborn. What do you want? Your God is killing us." And they said, "Well, you need gold and silver and cloth." And so they said, "Come on in and take it. Take whatever you want. Get out before we all die." And that's literally what was going on. So, but each person walked out with their own testimony of how God did it. Maybe the particular people that they talked to were different from the other neighbors, and they had different situations. Maybe they got mad and started cussing, and maybe other people just fell on the ground and started worshiping their gods and trying to say, you know, get away from us because take the gold and silver. So there was different experiences each person had with going to their neighbor. Every neighbor is different, right? Right? You see, so each one had a different experience, and they also walked away with their own testimony of how the gold and the silver, and how they went to this room and that room, and they had it buried underneath the bed over here, and some people had it up in the attic and up in the ceiling. And my testimony is they had it buried in the sand, in the cat litter box, something crazy like that. Yeah, it was really crazy, and that's where they had it. So they find, you know, so they all had different testimonies. And the Lord spoke to me about this. He said, "Randy, this is what I want to do with this wealth transfer that's about to happen to the body of Christ, PGN body of Christ. It's because each person's going to have their own money. They're going to have their own wealth. They're going to have their own testimony of, yeah, when I came into, you know, God, I came to PGN, you know, I just came there because I liked what God did with this and God did with that and what God was doing here and the testimonies and the people and all the talking and all the stuff going on and Randy prophesying. We like that sometimes. And the way he did things and the way, you know, other people did stuff. That's just what we like. We all have our testimony." And then we didn't have a clue. None of us knew. For years we gave. For years we helped. For years we were there. And we didn't have a clue that we were going to get our own wealth from being called to PGN on our own without any coercion, without any manipulation. Just came in because they loved to. They wanted to give. They loved giving. And they gave. And so as each one of you look back and go how you came into PGN, the testimony, you're all going to have your own testimony, and then it all ends up being this thing where, you know, one day Randy comes out and says, "The Lord just told me that all the PGN people are going to get blessed from the gift that God has given for the people." Randy Chandler can't even personally part. I cannot invest in it because every time I've ever done that before, it, through the gift God's given me, it always just messes it up. So God made it for me to give to people. It's not that I'm trying to be holy, that I'm trying to be Mr. Giver. You know, I'm not trying to be Mr. Wonderful. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with I found out how it works. And if I do it for myself in any fashion or form, even if I give the money away, it still doesn't work. God says, "This is for my people." Period, Randy. If they want to give you some of it after they get some, that's their business. You know, if they don't, which he thinks, I think you might, I think you probably will some, at least, right? People, we have generous people here at PGN. Well, I know they will, but it's not even about that. But the thing is that God says, if you will do it according to the pattern that I've showed you over the years of how I work this thing, then I will bless my people. And when my people are blessed, each one of them are going to have different testimonies about how it all happened and how one day, you know, he woke up and God told Randy to invest in this, invest in that, and we all made thousands. I don't know how much money you're going to make. You may make $50. You may make $50,000. You know, I don't know exactly how it's all going to happen, and I don't want to sit here and tell you that you know, you're going to have to pray and believe God for me as I hear from God about it and invest in it and all that, because it's for the body of Christ. Like I said, I mean, I would love to. I don't think there's anything wrong with me investing in it personally and being a part of what you guys are getting. But God told me that it doesn't work for me like that. My inheritance doesn't come from that. My inheritance comes from God's people. Right? That's what the Bible talks about, the priests in the Old Testament. The priest's inheritance didn't come from, you know, they didn't have their own inheritance. Their inheritance came from what the people gave to the temple, to the priest. That's it, y'all. I mean, so if you can understand why I'm doing it, I'm not just saying I'm not going to be a part of it, but you guys are going to be blessed by it, and it's a gift that God gave me, but he gave it to me that it only works for you, for other people. So I want to make it really clear. I'm not Mr. Wonderful. I'm not Mr. Oh, he's so wonderful, he's just given to the body of Christ. No, I wish that was true, but that's not it. Sorry. Sorry if you think that really good of me. I think you're thinking good about me, but that's not really it. The truth is, I have found out over the years how it works, how God's gift works, and it is for his people. It is not for me. I'm a servant. I wash the feet. You guys are the big dog. You guys are the people that are going to be blessed. And if you choose to bless the kingdom of God and help us build, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, you choose to do that. It's your willing. You choose to do it willingly, just like you came into PGN willingly. You didn't come into PGN because, you know, you're going to make a lot of money and it's going to be good. And you're going to be, you know, that was not one person's motive, because nobody knew this was about to happen. Nobody knew this. I didn't even know it until a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. You see what I'm saying? So this is not that I'm Mr. Cool and Wonderful and Mr. Nice Guy. Sorry to break your heart, but I have to keep it clean, keep it out in the open. Yes, I love you, and yes, I know you love me, and we all love each other. It's great. We're excited about the word of the Lord, what's going on, but I cannot take any – I have no credential on a personal level to say it's because I'm so this or that, right? It has nothing to do with it at all. Believe me. Trust me. So, you know, this confession stuff is good for the soul, right? It's good to humble yourself with God's people and God and just tell the truth. So that's it, man. That's it. All right, so we're going to take – I get distracted a lot, right? But it's good stuff, especially when you're confessing to the body of Christ your stuff, your weaknesses and all that. So let's take bread tonight. Hope you got it ready now. And I'm learning, I'm growing, y'all. Oh God, I need all kinds of help. I mean, I'm doing good. God keeps me clean and stuff, but you know, I need to grow. I need Jesus. I need God's word desperately. I'm a desperate friend. I'm desperate friend, just like you are. We're all in this together. All right, let's eat bread. For I received from the Lord, Paul the Apostle says, but I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, we give you thanks, Jesus. He broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lamb of God. We give you glory. We choose. You're so wise, God. You are so amazing. And we love you for that. Thank you for keeping us humble. God has to need that. He lifted up Jesus. He says, in the same way, the cup. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is my blood. It's the new covenant. It's my blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah, Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. How blessed are we to know you, to have you as our friend, to have you as our Lord and our Savior. How blessed are we? We are very, very, very blessed. And we thank you, Lamb of God. We thank you, Lamb of God, for all of us. Amen. And God, I just pray tonight. I just speak over your people tonight in the name of Jesus. And I speak that God, their eyes will be opened up like you're opening my eyes up all the time, constantly. As I eat your revelation from heaven, as I eat your communion also, as I partake of your word, listen to your voice,
minister to your people, wash their feet. And as I wash their feet, God, you just bless me more and bless me more. And I thank you for that, Lamb of God. I never thought I'd be a foot washer. That was not on the list. That was not on my bucket list. That was not on my bucket list. But it was on God. Jesus, we give you glory, Lamb of God. Lord, I ask you to open up your people's eyes. Open up my eyes, Lamb of God. Let us never stop getting our eyes open to who you are, how beautiful you are, how precious you are, glorious you are, how all-powerful you are, how almighty you are. You're almighty. You're the almighty God, the glorious one, beautiful one, in Jesus' name. And we do love you. We do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Cool. All right. People are still giving. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. All right. Still registering offerings. I'll look at the Zelle thing later. Thank you for letting me know about that. I'll go back and get that. Thank you so much. I got that 150 and that 10. Thank you. All right. All right. Let me see if I've got any more offerings here to register before we move on. I think that's about it for now. Yeah. All right. Okay. Share with these offerings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Thank you, Lamb of God. All right, let's get ready to pray. We're going to pray our offerings right now. If you haven't given tonight, you'd like to give. Some of you tell me, you asked me for my address. A couple of people have asked for my address, the ministry address, and I sent that to you, so I don't know. I will pray over tonight because I'll get it, I guess, but then just tell me how much it was, and I can go ahead and pray for it. You can just wait until next week when it after it comes in. It doesn't matter to me. It's up to you. But I would love to pray for it, pray over it. We'll pray over you anyway. We pray over people all the time, as everyone knows. And we just don't pray with people on Thursdays. So if you need that, want that, you can do that. Let me know how much it is, and I can pray the amount. We like the amount because we believe that coming to agreement with you on what you're giving is and the amount you give. It's like Jesus, when the lady gave the two mites, he said she gave two mites, and it was greater than all the other ones. He gave a lot, right? He mentioned her amount. So, and I could bring other scripture into it, too, but that's the one I like the most. So, all right. All right, let's pray over offerings. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. $5, thank you, Andrea, for that. $5, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for holding her hand. God, that you're holding her hand in Jesus' name. And, causing your hand to be in her hand, and that she's going to begin to experience somehow the hand of God in her hand as she yields her hand over to you. You know, as you yield your hand over to Jesus, you know, things begin to happen. It's like putting your hand in his hand, Andrea. It's like yielding your hand. You know, like when we worship God, some people like to lift their hands up and just, you know, like we lift our hands up and we open our hands up and we yield it to God. Yield our soul to God. That's kind of an outward sign of what's going on inward. It's like I see you yielding your hands to God, and God putting his hand in your hand, like saying, I receive your offering. I receive it in Jesus' name, and I'm going to bless you and cause you to see my wonders and my signs You're going to see my glory. You're going to see my peace. You're going to see my prosperity upon you. And I'm going to keep you safe. Because you're going to find that my hand in your hand is to take you by the hand, to precisely guide you. Like it's the connection. It's like when you think about having somebody having their hand in your hand, and they're going somewhere, but you're not sure where they're going, that you have to go where they go, right? You go with them because you have hands. Your hands are gathered together. They're connected. And so so when you begin to see that, the holding of hands, that you're literally guided by the hand of God. You see what I'm saying? That's the picture that I see in my mind, in my spirit, is being guided by the hand of God. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, Lord, that Andrea feels your hand in her hand. You know, like women just like to hold hands. Maybe some guys do too. I think guys like it a little bit. But women really like to have the hand thing, not like holding hands. But holding hands is for a lady. Women really like that. And maybe that's what it is. God is really showing his tenderness and that he's for sure got you. And where he goes, you're going to go with it. No mistakes, no nothing, because he's got your hand. Amen. Like a security thing, like a safety thing. Amen. You're going to go where I go because I got your hand. I got you by the hand. All right. All right, Anya tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Anya. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of grace upon her life, for the unmerited, undeserved favor, Father, that you show her, that you're opening up her mind to, because sometimes when we know ourselves, you know, like I know me real well, or I think I know myself really well. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'll never be able to do that because I've just never been able to do that. You know, I can do other things, but I can't do that. And it's like, when God's grace moves in on me, Anya, he might open up my mind to, Randy, but yeah, I know you can't, but I got undeserved, unmerited favor. I'm going to give you ability to do things. It's going to be my ability in you when you don't have the ability. As long as you keep being honest about it and true about it, I'm going to activate that in your life. So the things that you can't do, I'm going to do through you. It's like he's working in your behalf in things that you don't even have a clue what to do or how to do it. You know, and you're feeling like God's telling you about that. And you're going like, I don't know, man. Like, whoa, I just can't hardly see that. You know, it's just going to have to be somebody else can do it. Yeah, but that particular thing, I'm just not good at that. I've never, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you on this. You're going to be able to do things that, yes, in your own ability, you can't do. Just all you got to do is say, God, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. But with you, I can. If you do it in me, I know me. I can't do that. But I know that with you, I can. So I yield to you, Jesus. Amen. And do it in me. Part your wisdom. Make me look really good. Make me look like a genius when I know I'm not. Right? What God does with me, it makes me look like a genius when I know good and well I'm not a genius. That would be really nice. But I know that I'm not. So, I mean, I know me. And he just makes you look like you're really smart, right? It's because he does things that I know I can't do, and I know he's doing it because I know I can't do it. Like the gift of the market method he's put in my life. There's no way. There's no way. And the people that I talk to that are familiar with market, you know, language and all that, and this, what goes on, they go, man, we can tell you don't know nothing about anything. I'm going, yeah, I tried to tell you, you know. I said, how do you do that? It's God gives me an ability to do something that I have not a clue how to do. And he does it all the time. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, on a pretty consistent basis. Yeah, it's really, really cool. All right, Donald and Tanya, $5. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for Donald, that you teach him how to walk in the faith you've given him. You know, the Bible says be sober-minded about your faith. The reason a lot of people fail with things is because they get their faith, they get overzealous in their faith area, and they start trying to do things that they don't have faith to do. You know what I'm saying? And in other words, you know, when God calls you to do something, he can do anything through you, but you have to, faith is not being able to do it yourself, but no, he can do it through you. But until he speaks to you about it, until he imparts that to you, you know, so when we try to do things that we're seeing other people do, you know, whatever it is, your, you know, business thing, you know, skills, you know, of being, you know, some people are just really good parents. Other people have to work hard at it. You know, I have to work hard at that. And so, you know, God is, you know, showing you that as you keep your sober faith, keep your faith sober, be sober-minded in your faith, that you're going to find yourself, you know, doing the impossible all the time because you found where your faith is at. So Jesus has Peter, and then he said, where's your faith at? Some people don't know where their faith is at. They think their faith is way up yonder about that, or way down. They don't even know their faith. They don't know they have any faith. So they always undermine their faith or overdo it. But to be able to find it right where it's at, the more you get in tune with exactly where your faith is at, if you get precisely exactly the measure of faith God's given you and you're activating that, that's where the miracles happen. When you're 1% over or 1% under, then it's a less percentage of miracles. If you're 30%, you know, hyper in your faith towards what you're trying to do, you know, then you lose out that much more, you know, and you win a lot less. If you're 30% below what your faith is at, then the same thing. So the more that we are sober-minded in the exact faith God's given us to do a thing, and we walk in that, it may not seem like as big as other people, but others may have more faith in you. But when you activate the, let's say you have 30% faith, and I have, you know, I have been given 50% faith, and you've been given 30. I love this one. It's not sure I can say whatever I want. So my faith is 60, yours is 30, but you learn to use your 30. You don't go 31, you don't go 29, you go exactly 30 to the, you use it to the fullest, not hyper faith in it, not under faith in it, exactly 30 fold. And I'm over here with 50 fold ability of faith, 60, and I'm in the 60 round, and I'm trying to go 70, you know, and I'm trying, you know, or I'm under, and I'm doing, you know, like 30 when I got 60, I'm trying to go above it. Guess what? You're going to be walking in more miracles than me because you're walking in exactly the faith that God has given you. There's no, you know, you've taken your sobriety test, so to speak, and you know exactly where your faith is. So you're walking in that 30% faith, and you're seeing more get done because you're working precisely into the fullest of it without going over it, without going under it. Precisely, then, you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and I'm over here, I got 60. I got more faith than you do. Not that I do, but, you know. And I got 60-fold going here, but I'm trying to go 70, you know. So I'm going to end up going, you know, getting maybe 20% actually done. I can't figure out why. What's wrong with this? Because I'm trying to underdo or overdo. I'm not sober-minded in my faith. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, extremely, extremely important. And that's why we must teach the faith. We must teach the faith movement correctly. Because we get people to go and they got 10% faith and they're trying to go 30 like other people. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get anything done. If they got 10% faith and they're working like 5, they're going to, you know, be working half. They're going to see half the things going on that they should. But if they work exactly 10, they're going to walk in the fullness of what God's given them. Yeah, really, really important. And thank you, Lord, for Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God. We thank you for her time she goes through healing. We thank you for healing her, God. We thank you for her body. You know, as we took communion tonight, thank you that her body is the body of Christ because she's connected to Christ, connected to God through Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are touching her body and letting her heal and mend well in Jesus' name and touching her soul, that her soul will come to rest and know that you are taking care of her. Sometimes you get real vulnerable when you're sick, when you're wounded from, you know, operations or having a child or whatever, all the trauma and all that stuff. I thank you, Lord, for bringing such peace to her, God. In the name of Jesus, that you are with her, that all is well, that God is good. Amen. And you can walk in the peace of God. And your battles become, you enter into that realm of my battle is the Lord's. My battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And you learn to when you battle with the Lord, by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And therefore, we have a lot more victories. All right. Cool. All right. Here we are. Let's go here and Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. Thank you, Jesus, for Shalonda tonight, God. We thank you for giving her the showing her your approval, God, that you approve of her, Jesus, and that you for she will know that she's approved of. I know I'm approved of by God to a certain degree, but there's times I'm thinking, well, do you still approve of me, God, because I didn't do that exactly correct? Do you still approve of me because, you know, whatever? And so we get into this thing of approval because we need approval. We're made as human beings, Shalonda, to get approval. And we need approval. That's why fathers and mothers are so important. When they give us approval, it just does something in us because we're made to have it. And we need that approval. And I really see the Lord working with you in that and giving you that approval that you need. That is righteous approval. That is godly approval. That is, you know, true, righteous, godly approval, where you will know you are approved of. You know, that he approves of you. Because when that happens to us, what we do is we start going like, well, if you know you're approved of, then you have a lot less anxiety, you have a lot less insecurity, right? And you start just like being who you are. Because he approves of you. So what does it do? It unlocks the being who you are. Being who you are, being what you are, your weaknesses, your strength, you know, you're content with who you are. And that opens up a whole realm of peace, girl, in the name of Jesus. Loosen the peace realm in my sister, God, by the power of God. Amen. Angela Lamb, $17. What is this New York? What is this NY? I don't know what this NY, what is it? NY, NYA, what is that? New York, who saddle thoughts in college in North Carolina. Okay, so you didn't give me the full information. Okay. Oh, her name is Naya? Or are you just not giving her full name because you want to protect her, right? I guess that's what you do. Okay, I got you. I'm kind of slow. So thank you for that. Okay, thank you, Angela. You're protecting her. Thank you. Very wise. I just couldn't figure what that was. Thank you. That's clear now. I should have got that. All right. We pray for her tonight, God, in Jesus' name, that the enemy bring you suicidal thoughts in college in North Carolina. So, Lord, we take authority over those thoughts. You're welcome. Thank you. So we take authority over those thoughts in the name of Jesus, and we can't command this precious person to If there's any kind of medication or any kind of things going on, the things that she's doing that's helping create that. But sometimes people can be on the verge of that, but then they eat certain foods, they take medication, they do, you know, maybe they're hanging around the wrong people, watching the wrong movies, you know, listening to the wrong stuff. Sometimes that can. So we ask you to give her wisdom in Jesus' name, to where she feels alone, feels like she's been forsaken. As you think, I take authority over that forsaken, God, that she will come to you about her forsakenness, that you pay for on the cross. You said, Jesus, you said, though you have, why have you forsaken me? In Jesus' name, that's what Jesus said. He took upon himself that forsakenness feeling of being forsaken, feeling forsaken. In Jesus' name, I ask you, God, to touch her, love her, bless her, heal her. In Jesus' name, open her eyes, God. That she will see, like it is, Shalonda, the approval realm. I feel something's going on. I feel the anointing right now going down my right arm and kind of down my back, my right arm. Something there. Something's going on right there. Something broke right there. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that whole realm of forsakenness, in Jesus' name, feeling forsaken. You know, we can have anxiety attacks and sometimes, you know, feel forsaken, like people are coming against us and it not be true. The anxiety is a big thing. Can we take authority over anxiety in Jesus' name? And whatever's creating the anxiety, God, help her to fight it in every way, not just spiritually, but emotionally, mentally, the TV maybe she watches or the things that she listens to or who she listens to, and also medications, and all let all that be considered in Jesus' name. Give her wisdom, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for Angela. Angela Lanham, we thank you, Lord, for her life there in North Carolina. We thank you, Jesus, that you're blessing her. You're raising her up. You're making her a spiritual mother, spiritual mom, a spiritual friend, and to your people in Jesus' name. And I see you connecting to the friendship of God realm, Angela. I see you connecting to the friendship of God realm, like, you know, connecting to this friendship, really not realizing that he's your friend in the right way, in a godly way, in a beautiful way, in the way that true friendship is. People say, don't be too friendly with God because, you know, you've probably heard that like I have. But God's going to show you what true friendship is with him, what it's really like to be friends with Jesus. Amen. Yeah, open that up for her, God. Amen, Angela. Cool. All right. Sally, $20 from the UK, London. Thank you, Sally, for that. Bless you, Sally. Good to hear from you. I don't know. I don't know why I'm saying that. You know, that gets me every week. But, like, it's good to hear from you. Like, I feel like I'm going to be hearing from you or something. I don't know if that's a spiritual thing or a dream or vision or something. Somehow I'm going to hear from you. Maybe God's going to show me, you know, give me some answers for you or something. I just have this feeling that somehow there's a connection going on, that God is going to open up and give some specific detailed answers to things, some root things that to help you, maneuver through things and come out on the other side, walk through the valley with surety, with knowing God is with you, that yea, to walk through the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. And that it's not that I'm going to be with you. Of course, I'm always for you and with you in that sense of, you know, but that Christ through me is going to be with you or something. I don't even understand what I'm saying. But sometimes we need, you know, shepherds. When God calls a shepherd, they have the ability to shepherd. So sometimes that shepherd anointing kicks in and really watches over a certain sheep who kind of like, they've come to this level, now God's ready to take them to the next level and kind of like help guide them through spiritually or something, you know, to the next level so they can come through and come out, and, you know, yeah, something like that. And in Jesus' name, hey, don't ask me, I'm just a messenger boy. I don't know. Not that she's asking me because nobody's texting me asking, what does that mean? But I'm just answering the question. All right, Marie, $20. Thank you, Marie, from Virginia. God bless you, Marie, $20. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I see God doing something with your feet, touching your feet, touching your walk, touching your feet, making your feet pant. Listen to this, man. It's crazy. That your feet pant after God, like the deer panteth after the water, book, something like that, except I see your feet. And when you think about feet, you know, when I heard the Lord say, your feet panting after God, you know, like running after God, like running for the waters or whatever, like a deer panting for the water, but you know, I said that scripture, I don't even know what's that, but it's Psalms, I think. And that God is enabling you to walk in places, to you know, like a deer's feet can, a deer is made to go right up a mountain without any much trouble at all. Like we go 50 foot and we're like, because our body's not made, you know, they're made to go to high places. They're made to bounce up the mountain like a up and up the mountain. They're made for that. So I think God's going to open up that part of your faith, that part of your ability to believe him and to activate yourself in faith in him in Jesus' name. And your feet are going to be walking in high places, you know, and, yeah, but I heard the Lord say, like, your feet are panting like a deer panting for the water brook. Yeah, so, I mean, you might look at that scripture and get a handle on what that means, because I don't know what that is, but it's pretty cool. It felt pretty intimate. It felt pretty, you know, like your feet were got to send some of your feet. Your feet, it's with your feet that you take territory. It's with your feet that you, you know, like a deer popping up the mountain, up. Everybody else is struggling. You know, they just pop, man. It's like they're made for it. And you're made for that. You're made for the high place. You're made for blessings. You're made for it. And God's unlocking that within you in Jesus' name. As a deer panteth for the water, but okay, so I guess I'm going to have to read it because I can't seem to get around it. All right? I love looking it up, but it's just obeying God. The deer panteth for the water, but it is my soul. And that's for you. All right, here we go. With my soul, pant. Long for me. Okay, I'm going to go there. All right, I'm going to read to you because I can't seem to get away from it. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with you? Yeah, that's Psalm 42, verse 1, Marie. All right, I'm glad I went and read that. That was awesome. There's something going on with you with that. Yeah. All right, Rita, $7.77. Thank you, Rita, for that. And thank you. All right, Rita, thanks for that $7.77. God bless you. And God's opening up an arena for you, an arena for you to, you know, it's like an area or an arena or like an opening up of a whole new, like, opening it for a broad place, for a place where you can, you know, have a lot of choices, see a lot of different things, being able to move around more, have more room to move around, have more, you know, not be so, you know, bound to certain things, like being really opened up. It's like having a little motel room, and then you step into a big arena. But God is opening up space for you, time and space for you, in Jesus' name, and giving you favor with some people, and opening up favor with you so that you can share your heart with them, and share your life with them. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. All right. Cool, man. Okay. All right, there you go. All right, Paulette, $25. Thank you, Paulette. She said pray for her daughter, Kayla. So we just pray for Kayla, God, right now, that all the brokenness and things that she's going through, that you impart to her. We just decree and declare that you impart to her just simple wisdom things that are simple, that are not difficult, not hard to grasp, that you're going to give her a way to come out work her way out of what she's found herself in, and give her wisdom on how to walk out of it herself, because she doesn't walk out of it herself, you know, knowing how to walk out of it, then she'll walk right back into it again, you know, as we all do. So God giving her wisdom of how to walk out of it, how to back out of it. In other words, I see how I did it, I walked this, I did that, and that's how I ended up here. Like, okay, you're going to back up, like repentance. Backing up is repentance, or looking back and saying, man, how did I get here? Wow, I mean, all of a sudden, boom, and the devil takes advantage of stuff, right? He did it with all of us. So I thank you, Lord, for giving her the ability to repentance means you back up. and you go back to where you started before you got there. So show her how to do that, God, so that she will never, she'll have the wisdom how to not fall for that trap again. In Jesus' name, give her grace. Give her favor. Amen, in Jesus' name. Thank you for Paulette, God. We thank you for the 25 others. We thank you, Jesus, for blessing her. We thank you for opening up Paulette's heart to give things over to God. Like I see God really showing you how to wrestle with him, how to wrestle with God, like when Jacob wrestled with God. He wasn't fighting God. He was wrestling with God for the blessing. And that you're wrestling with God for the blessing for you, for your family, and to get that family blessing. That's what Jacob really was wrestling for, was the blessing, because everything with them was about their family. But they knew they had to be blessed in order for the family to be blessed. And God's really going to show you, Paulette, how to wrestle with God to get the blessing for yourself so that you can pass it down to your children. People think, oh, I got to pray for your children to be blessed. Now, there comes a time, like with Abraham got blessed. He was individually, personally blessed. He got the blessing from God. And then when it came time for him, he passed it on. There is a time and a place to pass things on to your children as far as spiritually, emotionally, financially, everything. So God will show you the timing. But you have to have it first. You have to get it, and that's what God's showing you, how to wrestle with God, like Jacob wrestled with God, and to get the blessing. I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. And you have that about you, girl. You have that about you, dear woman of God, in Jesus' name. And so may God encircle you and encompass you around about with encouragement and peace, to know that God's with you and that he's working things, all things out for his good. You're going to watch him work it out for good. Amen. All right, Karen. All right, bless you, Karen. We can work for Karen tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that you called her to be at peace. I see God bringing you peace, that all is well. God is working. He's hearing your prayers. Because if you don't find, if God is working and in his eyes, it's all well. Because it's, your prayers are being answered. But you don't see it, then it causes you to have anxiety and stress over things that, you don't need to have. So, but the thing is, until we see it, that's what we do. We keep concerning it. So God is bringing you to a place of having peace and rest, knowing that, if he wants you to pray about something specific and very personal and very important, believe me, he's going to show you in a dream, a vision. He's going to speak through a servant of God. Somehow or another, you're going to get it. Is that you can enter into that place that God is watching over you. You're not having to carry the world. Sometimes every once in a while I start thinking, I got to carry all this. I got to carry it. I feel like it's my responsibility. The Lord says, no, cast your care upon me. And I go, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Yeah. Help me cast my care upon you, Jesus, because I know you care for me. And I see God really showing you care in a very personal way, his care for you. And when you get that more and more and more and more and more into your spirit, then you realize he's taking care of it. And when he needs you to pray about something, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go, do I need to pray? Do I need to pray? Sometimes I still do that with God, just about certain things. What's going on, God? Are you mad at me about something? Did I do something? Just chill out, man. Thanks for asking, though. Just chill out. Everything's good. When I need you, just stay alert. You're a watchman. Stay alert. And you don't fall asleep on the watch job, then you'll see it coming when I'm going to show you. Amen. I'll give you peace about that, Karen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just speak peace over you. I speak the dearness of God over you, that you feel like, that you realize he's your dear friend. He's your dear, he's the love of your life. When he says he gave his life for us, he had to die just for us, that is literally exactly the truth. Because if he can get one person, he even told Moses, he said, let's kill them all, a bunch of rebellious. Let's kill them all. Let's just start over with you. God can take one person, literally. And he's serious when he says it. When he told Moses, kill them all, get rid of them all, start with you. He wasn't playing. Yeah, he wasn't playing. And what's really weird about all that, Karen, is that they all ended up dying in the wilderness anyway. Moses could have started a new crew, God knew they were all going to die anyway. So they offered, we can just do this real quick. Move him on, get him out of the way, and we'll start over with you. Moses is good. He wasn't going to have it. Maybe that's good. All right, Sandra, $30. Thank you, Sandra. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the spirit of provision in her.
God, that her heart is longing for the provision of the Father. The provision of the Father, Sandra, is what happened, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, paid for everything. That's where he purchased our salvation. That's where everything, the ka-ching, 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 ka-ching was done. And everything was paid for. And God, every person I've ever known who's got a hold of that revelation moved in miracles, saw miracles. And this is what God has for you. He's going to really open you up to that. It took me years to get it. I would hear that, you know, get a revelation of Jesus and his provision on the cross. And finally, you know, after years, of it happened. And God has designed this for you, that you get the revelation from heaven about what he paid for on the cross and the payment system. Because when you get a hold of the ka-ching, ka-ching of Jesus, you know, they were nailing those nails in his, they were going ching, ching, ching. That was ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Because they didn't know it, but they were making the sound of ka-ching, ka-ching, hammering those nails in there because that's what was paying for everything. When you get that, when we get that revelation, when you get that, as God gives you that revelation more and more, Thunder, it's going to move you into that place of, oh, no, it's paid for. How much you got to pay for this, Jesus? This is a really nice piece of property. This is a really nice thing. This is a really devastating, death sentence on this person. What's it going to take? How much money is it going to take to get them free of that? He said, oh, I've already paid for that. Ka-ching, ka-ching. And you'll hear the ringing of the sound of a hammer as the metal hits the metal on the metal nail. Ching, ka-ching. Paid for by the sufferings of Christ, what Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary. Most people don't have that revelation. They really don't. Sad to say. Took me a long time to begin to get it. Mine, the one God working in me was the provision for the prophetic realm, right? Yeah. So it's your calling that he provides for, not just, you know, miracles, but miracles in whatever realm you're called in. Like I'm called in the prophetic realm. So he gives me miracles like, you know, the market revelation gave me that the gift for that. That's the miracle realm, but it's not just for healing. I mean, you know, but it's for the financial realm, for the transfer of wealth realm. And that's really cool. All right, Angela Joy, $40. Angela, I know you sent me an email. I saw your email and your text, and boy, just thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for restoring God, for transitioning her into your new place, that new place, God, that you know very well that the word I got to you the other night, I think we finally got to it about midnight, or almost 1 o'clock, I think. It was really late when I got to your word, and it was like, if I were a rich man, it was about a poor man, you know, if you know the Fiddle on the Roof, for some reason he gave me that about you, I don't know why, but he had his family, but there's something about, you know, that, and God opening you up to the riches of Christ Jesus, and what he has already done on the cross, what he's already done in the spirit realm, and how God's teaching you how to receive from him. It's about receiving from him. It's all about receiving. We give, people give, but they don't know how to receive. You know, it took me a long time to learn how to receive. I remember people used to come up to me and just try to hand me money. And I'm going, you know, these are poor people. I mean, I had a lady one time handed me a $5,000 check. I don't know where she got that money at because I knew her. She was one of my sheep in my church, you know, precious lady. And she came up to me and here's a check. And I'm thinking, you know, $50 probably a lot for her. I looked at it and it was $5,000. I went, she didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I just went, whoa, that's cool. She walked off, you know. And I wanted to give it back to her because I know you need this money more than I do. You know, I mean, I need the money, but, I mean, you need it. I know you need it worse than me. And I wanted to give it right back to her. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm trying to bless you and bless the ministry. And in my heart, I still had this thing of I wasn't thinking kingdom thinking. You know, as she gave that, God bless her. And she, you know, it's a long story what happened with her, but she got in an accident. And you got a $50,000 payment from the insurance because it really, you know, messed her up. And I never knew about it. You know, she told me she was an accident. She wasn't a complainer person. She was an accident and had got a $50,000 cash, you know, settlement. And that was, you know, she gave me $5,000. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. You know, it's amazing. Just hand it to me, didn't explain, didn't say anything, just hand it to me, you know. But I'm not going, dear God, the Lord says, receive it, Randy, receive it. So that happened to me several times in different ways. And God had always used people that I knew didn't have much, handing me, you know, $100. And it's like, I just want to say, hey, man, you know, you need to keep this for yourself. The Lord says, I'm teaching you how to receive. You got to learn how to receive, Randy. So I still work on that. That still happened, but I've learned how to just let God do what he wants to do. Amen. And so I'm always learning it and growing in it more and more and more all the time. Believe me, all the time. So because listen to this, man. The more we learn how to receive from God, right, the more he gives us. Yeah, the more he gives us. Hallelujah, the more he gives. All right. Let me go here. Hang on a second. La-da-da-da-da. I love that song. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. All right. That receiving. So what I'm seeing, Angel of Joy, is your receiver opening up. Your receiver just opening up and going, bring it on, Jesus. Amen. And the better we learn how to receive, the more we can receive. Most people hinder themselves because they don't know how to receive. Yeah. All right. Regina, $25. Thank you, Regina, for that $25. In Jesus' name, bless you for that. In Jesus' name, it's like I see, you know, like a situation of somebody playing Russian roulette, basically, with something, and God is saving them, and God protecting them, and God opening them up to that Russian, to playing Russian roulette. You know, Russian roulette is like, you know, they take a gun, they put one bullet in it, and then they from person to person, and you know, one of them's going to die probably. Like I see God using you to intervene, Regina, in that Russian roulette thing. And that's a really strange word, right? But that's just what I see things instantly. Russian roulette and God stopping it and God changing the way that – because everybody, some people live so much in the challenge realm. They love to they love to risk. They're riskers. They like to take a risk. They like to, you know, risk stuff. And so they play dangerous games. So what God does is he takes those people who play risk in the wrong way, dangerous game, many times they die, and they're gamblers, or they do whatever with life. They gamble their life away because they and take them, snatch them from that addiction, and bring them into Jesus where they're playing with real faith, and God teaches them. Like Peter. Peter was like that. He was a Russian roulette kind of a guy, you know, and so that's why he was the person who said, I'm stepping out on the water, Russian roulette. Like, am I going to die or am I not going to die? Well, in that Russian roulette thing, he would have died had Jesus not grabbed him, right, because he started sinking. But you see what I'm saying? Peter was kind of a Russian roulette person where he was willing to risk. And so God's going to take some people in your life and whoever that person is, And turn them and use and do like he did Peter. Jesus turned Peter's Russian roulette addiction or whatever, or his thing that he had, that part of his nature, and turned it into a God thing where he was stepping out of the boat, walking on the water, turning around to the other guys. Hey, man, what are y'all guys doing? And they all said, yeah, we know you're the Russian roulette guy. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, this is awesome. You know, and then pretty soon Peter's sinking and Jesus is saving him. But Jesus knew he was like that. And blessed him and opened him up to, you know, how to use that for God. And he did. And as we all know, to this day, now it's all like, you know, history. It's history. It was a mystery, but now it's history. Yeah. The delivery from Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mystery. Yeah.
Pika ashakota bahate ime ichonga pota letida wao.
May it come to pass soon, in Jesus' name. May the message be delivered. Hallelujah. All right. Nikki and Charles. $50. Thank you, Nikki. Charles is having a complete knee surgery on the 4th. I guess that's the 4th of November. All right, is that what that is? Alright. If you didn't say, I'm just guessing that's what it is. Okay. Yeah, okay, thank you. I thought that's what it was. You did good. I just wasn't sure, making sure on that. So thank you, Jesus. Charles is having his knee. I guess he's, I've had some friends that do this. Sometimes that works pretty good. I feel it works really pretty good. So hopefully that will really work good for him in his behalf, in Jesus' name. And really, really cool. But hang on a second here. All right, there you go. Okay. Next, that was Regina. Nikki and Charles, praying for Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. God, we thank you for that knee surgery, God, that they will be provided for. Because, you know, I don't know how your insurance works and all that. I don't know what's going on with that. But whatever, bless the insurance, bless them and give them that provision that they need, what they will be lacking. In Jesus' name, and open up the door for them to receive that provision, Father, beforehand, before they need it. In Jesus' name, open that up and protect and guide and wash and wash over. Walk. I can't even say it. Wash over them. Watch over them and wash over them. I don't know what that is. Wash and watch. Like wash your clothes, you know, and watch over them. Wash and watch. Do some washing. Let them watch, God, as Nikki, that watchman inside of Nikki begins to rise up, God, and Charles, that watchman begins to rise up, God, to see God wash and clean things, like keeping people's heart clean, keeping people's faith clean, so their faith is clean. So they're trying to believe God for things that God hasn't really spoken about, so they keep their heart clean and their faith clean. Because when you keep your heart clean, then your faith is clean. Like when our heart becomes unclean or whatever, it gets caught up in stuff, then we our faith gets going, looking to the wrong direction for things. And I thank you, Jesus, for the watchman in her and the washer in her, the God that washes away things, keep things washed and clean, keep our heart pure, keep our heart washed. In Jesus' name, so the watchman in her can see clearly, so the watchman in her can see precisely. In Jesus' name, for Nikki, God, in Jesus' name, open that up for your divine appointments for her to be able to see when an appointment's divine, be able to recognize it, know that it's God, and receive it, and totally receive it in Jesus' name. Also, the receiving room, I get that word of an angel, but also I say, God, open you up, your receiver, God is opening up your receiver in Jesus' name to be able to receive back. You know, like sometimes we our receiver can receive back 30-fold, which is awesome, and then we move into the realm of our receiver growing bigger or receive 60-fold or 100-fold or whatever. I'm just saying an example. So thank you, Jesus, for opening up Nikki's heart, God, to receive at the next level in Jesus' name. Now, and over Charles, God, and let the watchman in him, God, and be able to see and know how to handle things, how to believe you for things that are important. That's what's important to you, God. You're going to start showing Charles more and more what's important to you. Not just what's important, but what's important to you at the moment, at the time,
that he'll be able to see that and know that and walk in that and not focus on things that aren't important. Like sometimes we'll say, this is important for me right now. For the next 30 days, this is important to me. And we're over here working on this and that and the other. And so he starts showing us, work on this. This is important to me right now. There's a reason why I need you to stop everything, focus on this. Amen. And open their eyes, God, to that realm even more and more and more, Jesus. Amen. Kimberly, $25. Thank you, Kimberly. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for Kimberly. I see the mercy and grace of God. I see you standing at the mercy seat of God and pleading for mercy. You know, mercy, I don't know what the mercy's for. You're pleading mercy. There's a merciful spirit inside you, Kimberly, that God has put within you. There's a mercy seat, S-E-A-T, inside of you, like in the temple, you know, tabernacle. There's a mercy seat where the priest would stand and before God, pleading mercy for God's people. There's that thing in you, that's that beauty of that. And God wants to reward you. He'll even reward you financially with blessings and favor with people as you walk into that priesthood part of your life, pleading mercy for God's people, pleading mercy for those who need it and for the mercy of God. They're blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that mercy comes back to you in Jesus' name. And not just to you personally, but to the people that, you know, are needed in your life. Like some people can't be a part of our life because they need mercy to come in and do something with them, right? So God puts mercy on them, and then all of a sudden they find themselves going, hey, Kimberly, you know, let's, you know, we can connect because mercy had done something in their life. So I see you pleading mercy on the mercy seat so that not only you get, you know, it's not just about, as you know, it's not just about you getting blessed. It's about the blessings of God that are coming to you through people, that if they get mercy in their life, then they're able to, you know, connect and partake and, you know, do what God's calling them to do with you. So that's why you're standing there pleading mercy at the mercy seat, right? Does that make sense? All right, Kimberly, awesome. All right, Noel, $50 in building fund. Thank you, Noel, for that. In Jesus' name, yes, we believe in God for our building fund. Thank you, Jesus, for we're now moving into acreage, not just a nice building. Thank God for the nice building. Got me really stirred up about this whole thing and got me looking and stepping out and believing God. But, like, you know, he wants us to have acreage. I'm so glad that I didn't. The only thing that came in from signing the deal with that of the building was the noise and the fact that there was no acreage around it. It was just like, you know, half an acre, and that was it. There was no growing time. So we ended up in a big, nice building, which I really love that building, by the way, but there was no acreage, and plus the noise. The noise was really, really bad. So God used it to stir me up. So we're believing God for this thing to for acreage, to as God gives, the ability to grow it, and all that. So thank you, Lord, for expanding, Noel, God, expanding your revelation. What God does, Noel, is he expands your revelation realm. Right, you're like Paul the Apostle prayed that the body of Christ would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Right, so that knowledge can be, you know, will of God for your life. It can be about how to grow things, how to multiply things, how to, you know, get the unmerited, undeserved favor of God to work on your behalf. You know, revelation can do that. Revelation can show you how to activate the things of God. So, and the thing is that other people can have that revelation, and we can listen to that, which is part of the process. Jesus told Peter for months in different ways he was the Messiah. And then finally one day he asked him, who do you say that I am, Peter? And from the Father, Jesus heard that the Father had showed him that he was the Messiah. That way he knew that Peter was going to be okay. It can take some time to work it in there, but he knew from that day on that Peter was going to be okay and that Peter was the man for that particular time, because he got a revelation from the Father. So when we get revelation from the Father, Jesus taught him, Jesus planted the seed, I watered it, but God gave the increase. When you get, I see you getting the increase of revelation, of understanding things, that's yours. That's the Father showing you. Yes, I may have planted it. Other people may have planted it, you know, but the fact is, until God gets that increase and it becomes yours, that's when you activate. That's when things are activated for you in your behalf. And you become irresistibly empowered. You know, in other words, you can't lose. Yeah, you can't lose. When you walk in revelation, you cannot lose.
really, really cool. All right. All right, let's pray for, we got, okay. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika tonight. God, we thank you for, Andrika came on, I haven't talked to Andrika in a long time. It was so good to hear her the other night. She called in. Okay. Yeah, I put yours down with Terrence, so it thank you for that. I just got okay, thank you. Yeah, we're getting really close here to all that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you. Cool. We got all right, that was who's up praying over. Nikki and Charles is $110. Oh, that's not right. I'm in the wrong one. I'm in the wrong one. Yeah, Nikki and Charles. I got it. Okay. New job, all that. All right. Kimberly, $25. I'm going to get straight over. Noel. Oh, we're praying over on Noel. Yes. Thank you, Noel. In Jesus' name. Yeah, that's what I see God doing. It's doing that for you, all right? That revelation. Really, really cool. But just the answer to everything. That's why Paul prayed, Noel, for the people of God to get the spirit of revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus, because that's what made Paul so powerful, was that he got revelation from God, like Peter got, which eventually changed his life. Oh, you did? That was this week? I thought that was that this week? Because I just realized I got on the, that was last week, right? No, I get messed up sometimes. Let's go back and look at this. All right. Oh, that was this week? Oh, that was 10:02. That was 10:02. I'm looking at it right now. 10:02 was, that was what, last week? 110. Sorry, I messed that up, didn't I? And then this week it's $50, at least as far as I can see. 50. And one thing was, I think, last week. Yeah, that was last week. Thank you. All right. I'm going to get it right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. All right. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Noel, you heard that. Andrika, $55. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika, the 55, 55. 22, 22. You never send me an email what you want, what goes where, but I got a feeling that 55, 55 is for you and the kids and Chris. 22, 22 is for the building, I mean for the building, for the ESW Auto Sale. I don't know if you're listening right now or not, but Andrika called in the other night. She was talking about, you know, I got her. She said Andrika from Georgia. I said, Andrika? I want to talk to Andrika. She gave her, we shared that testimony about the time she sent a prayer request in for somebody named, what I thought was a person, somebody named Owen. Well, Owen just happened to be their dog, right? Well, I didn't know it was their dog, and I started praying. And I kept saying, you know, like a dog, like a dog, like having compassion on somebody like a dog. And it went on and on and on. And she sent me this was years ago. She sent me a text right in the middle of that. She started to laugh and said, it is a dog. I went, oh, man. You know, so, but we pray for anything, man. I guarantee you I pray for anything. But we were talking about that. She was confirming to people that brand new, they never heard that. That was really true. That really did happen. That's her faith working, man. That's Andrika's faith. That's her faith working in Drake. In Drake. Yeah. And drinking you. God's in drinking you. God is in drinking you. Don't ask me what that means. It's like, you know, he's drinking you in. God's teaching you how to drink. God drinks you in. God knows how to drink us in. We're like a drink offering, you know. But God is showing you how to drink him in. you know, how to drink him in, how to drink him in. Because your faith, like the dog thing, you know, your faith drew that out of me. I mean, other than that, I would have just thought I was a human being, but your faith drew out the that word. And like God showed you that, you know, so it was more about your faith than it was about me. It's like God's going to start showing you your faith, Enrica. I think that you're one of those who underdoes your faith. I think you know you have a lot of faith, but I think there's a lot more faith in you that God's given you than you realize. And I know you already know you walk in, you know, great faith, but I mean, I'm telling you, there's a level of faith in you. I don't know if God just opened up a whole other level for you or what this is exactly, but I see you, you know, like I explained earlier tonight to Donald and Tanya, mainly to Donald, that if you have 30-fold faith and you're working in 31-fold or trying to work, make 31 out of it or 30 or 40 out of it, when you have 30-fold only, or you're trying to work 30-fold and make it 20-fold or not working enough of it, then once you learn how to hone in on and work exactly the amount of faith God's given you, like 30-fold exactly, not more, not less, that's when you see more miracles than any time, because you're working your faith to the fullest, not overdoing it, not underdoing it. So I see God is like showing me that you underwork your faith, and God's about to open you up and show you that you underwork your faith, and that, and it's going to cause you to walk in more of a power and authority realm, because you're going to walk in the exact measure of your faith, and you can only do that by the perfection of the Holy Spirit. And I see the perfection. Be perfect, the Bible says, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What does that mean? Perfect in heaven is like as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do you be perfect? Nobody can be perfect. What does that mean? Well, when you learn how to function in your faith perfectly, not if you have 30-fold faith, not 32, not 28, but 30 exactly, and you learn how to function in that to the fullest of what you got, boom, man, things start happening. It is amazing. So I see God showing you that. In Jesus' name, and open you up to that so you can walk in the fullness of what God has given you. Amen. And not come short of the glory of God in your faith realm. Amen. And so we pray for the kids. We pray for Torrey and Tyreek. We thank you, Jesus, that their faith, God, this whole thing is about faith, I got to feel. That their faith, that they're going to watch the faith of their mother. They're going to watch the faith of Chris, they're going to watch the faith of their people, of their friends. They're going to watch people that walk in. They're going to see what real faith is like. They're going to see people who walk in faith who don't even make a real big deal out of it. It's like they don't really make I'm walking in faith. They just walk in faith without even talking about it. And that's what I see Tariq and Torrey, that like God showing them people that true examples of what walking by faith really is, instead of the hyper faith or the, you know, demeaning, you know, where we demean ourselves and, you know, that they're going to walk, God's going to show them, bring them people. And I feel like you're one of those, Enrique, God's going to show them how you walk by faith. And you don't realize it, but they're drinking that in. They drink that in. They drink in more than you realize. And God's going to use that to cause them to be powerful in their anointing, powerful in their calling. They walk in the fullness. Walking in the fullness doesn't mean like 100-fold. If God's giving you 30-fold and you're walking that full 30-fold exactly, you know, and somebody else has 100-fold and they're only walking in 30-fold, or they're trying to walk in 150-fold and they're overdoing it, underdoing it, the person with 30-fold walking in perfection in that area will have more miracles, more blessings, more breakthroughs than all the other ones, even though they have more faith. But when you walk perfectly, be perfect, even as you're following, perfect faith, that it's like perfectly tuned car. That's what race cars do. They, you know, perfectly tuned, I mean, perfectly to the T. Everything tuned, working together. Boom. That's what they work on. When they do that, their car is going to go good. It's going to be awesome. Okay. Okay. Let's go here. All right. Hang on a second. We will get you here. All right, give me a second here, please. Got to enter text as we go. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's this whole thing about, Enrique, with your faith, with the faith of God in you. Yeah, in Jesus' name and with your children. Wow. Because when we walk in the faith God has given us, not more, not less, wow. It's like a fine-tuned car, like in a race car realm, in the big-time stuff. I mean, they make sure their car is tuned up perfectly where it can run at top speed without blowing the engine or without messing something up, without, you know, slowing down, breaking up, messing up. You know, and those who maintain that win. They win the race. And we're running a race. We're driving a race. Whatever you want to say. We're running a race here. And I thank you, Jesus, for that fine-tuned faith, God, in Jesus' name. Perfection. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I've never heard that before with faith. That's the first time I've ever heard that. That was amazing. Hallelujah. And Lord, thank you for Chris. We just bless Chris tonight, God. We thank you for his faith. And thank you, Lord, for watering his faith, God, for resurrecting seed that's been planted in him. For, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We thank you, Lord, for giving Chris the increase, because we have to have the increase internally. Like I was sharing with Noel, when you have the increase internally from the Father, then you got it. You don't need anybody else after that, even though you want people in your life, you welcome people, you listen to people. But you don't have to have anybody. You become independently wealthy with God. I mean wealth. I mean, I'm talking about the wealth of a relationship with him. And so I thank you, Lord, for Chris, God, that you, all the seeds you planted in him, even back when he was a kid, that you will bring those seeds forth, Father, in Jesus' name, and surprise him and his faith level in Jesus' name. Amen. And we take that for ESW Auto Sales. God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing this. We thank you, Lord, that the whole family faith, the faith for the family faith, like a family business, the family thing, like a family faith, family business, family. But this is that all you guys put your faith together, you know, as God gives it, even the kids, you know, all that, and the, what, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Just think about what, you know, how that works when your faith is working pure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Raise up and manifest yourself, God, in the glory realm of your prosperity in Jesus' name, in their business in Jesus' name. Open that up, God. Open it up. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. All right, let's go to Danette. Thank you, Danette. Danette gave $40 and then gave another $40. Thank you, Danette, for that. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Danette, God, I just see... You know, I just see the double blessing coming on you. I mean, it's like double, meaning that God showing you how to double things. The Bible says be fruitful and multiply, or double, or increase. And God putting in you, Danette, that he wants to increase, and he wants to double you. He wants to double your pleasure. He wants you to enjoy life more. I'm talking about God's way. He wants you to enjoy people. He wants you to enjoy yourself. He wants you to enjoy him more. And I see this thing of God bringing joy, the fruit of joy, the fruit of enjoying, you know, God more, you know, people more, yourself more, and learning to adjust to things easier instead of things messing you up and taking down. Some things you get over really easy. Some things don't. That's the way it is with all of us. Sometimes we really struggle with things. And I think for that 40-40, if you get $40 and then $40, that's $80. Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing in Jesus' name in her life, God, and causing her to, because when you enjoy things, when you enjoy what's going on, it changes the way everything works. It changes the way everything works, right? Because, things go smoother. Life goes smoother. You have more energy, and it just makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world on how sometimes, you know, when we're struggling along, it just wears us out more. I know it does me,
And so when you're enjoying things, when I've learned to laugh more or let laughter rise up within me more, when I started to learn how to do that, I found myself having a lot more energy and being a lot less tired because I learned how to enjoy, you know, God, enjoy myself, to laugh at myself and not be so serious with myself about everything. That's really, really cool. Amen. Okay. Okay. Uh-oh. Oh. Okay, I'm checking here. Oh, God, help me. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that 110 you guys gave had to do with praying over the truck and the fifth wheel, all that, right? Let me mess it up. They get that right. Okay, Danette. There you go, Danette. Wow. That was just like simple and easy. And like what makes things go smoother is joy. Like usually things that would mess me up, now I laugh about it. I'm thinking something because I'm laughing a lot. I think, am I losing my mind? Things I used to get mad about, get upset about, now I laugh about it. You know, I find myself laughing at myself more. You know, and what happened with all that is God renews my strength, right? My strength, I don't waste my strength on anxiety and stress and getting upset, right? I just, enjoy it. I hate to say I enjoy some of that stuff, but that's just what hits me. And, man, it's just, like, amazing, amazing. And my finances are better. Everything's better. Everything works better with joy. Joy just opens up the door. It makes things easier, and my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because joy, keeps you your strength from being robbed from you. And I really see God, pouring that into you. My God, in the name of Jesus, I loosen it on you, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Jeannie, $100. Thank you, Jeannie, for that. We just bless you tonight. Thank you for the grace of God. I see God's grace. Grace has a lot of different things. We think of grace as unmerited favor, for not being perfect and all things. And that's part of it, because when God's grace starts working, it's because part of the reason that it starts working is because we activate it by, Jeannie, Paul the Apostle, as we know, Paul the Apostle had to learn about grace through a thorn in the flesh. Right. What was God trying to teach Paul, and why did he need to learn about grace? Unmerited favor. I prayed 3 times that this thorn would leave me, and God wouldn't let it leave because he was trying to teach him something. He was trying to teach him grace and favor, learning how to tap into the favor of God, which brought him into the unlimited realm, because then he stopped trying to get favor by doing everything perfect. He learned to just relax and rest and let God, favor him and love him. And you're my beloved child, you're my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. I love you. And that just helps us relax and quit trying to, do things to please God. And then we get in his way, trying to help him out, and he doesn't, I remember I used to try to help my dad out when I was a kid because I wanted so eager to help him, And I would most of the time end up being in his way and causing more frustration because of it. So Lord says, just relax, just enjoy, rest, and let the Father do the work. And finding that favor realm where you find the favor of God,
And you start realizing that God is favoring you because you've chosen to serve Him, you've chosen to do His will, you've chosen, and not just talking about it, but doing it. And so the more we do what God says, then the favor of God gets more and more and more released. Because the favor is something that we get trusted with, and the more we learn to do good with it, the favor God gives us, and use it properly, then the more we get of it. You've seen a lot of people, a lot of ministers, bless their heart, who have taken advantage of the grace God's given them, and they end up falling. See what I'm talking about? Because of pride. And so I've dealt with that before, I understand. So grace is like God's favor, knowing that when He tells us to do something, we do what He says, and we do that, then He says, oh, I can trust you with my favor. I can teach you because you do what I say. And I'm still going to open up things because when God first favored us so much, we kind of get the big head. Like, oh, man, He favors me no matter what I do. Remember Trump talking about this? I thought it was really cool. He said, I could kill somebody. My face would still believe in me. Remember that? That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's like no matter what I do, God's a favorite. So then they take advantage of it. I'm not saying Trump did, but when you take advantage of that faith, well, that grace, that favor that we have, we start thinking, that's where the enemy gets in. We start thinking, oh, I can get by with anything. I can get by with anything. And that's what they do. Jimmy Swaggart did it. Others did it. I love all those guys. They're all returned back to God. They're beautiful. But they, for some reason or another, was tempted and took advantage of God's grace. And therefore, they failed. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Usually we fall because we haven't learned how to live in this grace. That's why Paul the Apostle was given the thorn in the flesh, to have to learn to live from the grace of God. That way he lived in, he found the unlimited realm. A much more exciting, much more powerful, much more fulfilling, and a lot more got done quicker and easier. It's the reverse. We think the harder we work, the more we get done. The blessing in the garden, and Mike Veronica, Mike, this for you, the $150. Thank you, Mike, for the $150. And thank you, Jesus, for Mike. We thank you, Lord, that the whole realm about working hard, Mike, and living in the Garden of Eden mentality on the inside, and knowing that, that they work without sweat, that it's not how hard we work, it's how, it's what the atmosphere that we live in, it's the blessing of God that we live in, and when we live in that, we start, realizing that, God made everything in the kingdom to work easily. So we get this works mentality. I do. I get a works mentality sometimes, and I start thinking the harder I work, and then I get out of grace. Grace is working less, getting more done. And so God really opening you up to that realm of the Garden of Eden where they sweated nothing at all. And everything they did of freedom and liberty, and the atmosphere was light. And everything they did just was easy. And so this is our goal. This is your goal. This is the goal God's given you, is to break up, tear down the altars of the enemy, and open up the altar of God can come in. The earth itself was an altar back in the day of the Garden of Eden. The earth itself was the altar, and then once Adam and Eve sinned, it no longer became an altar. So the altar was the earth. So everything they did, the earth was made to provide for them. The earth was made to do it. They just kind of do a little bit of digging around, and that was about it. And it just kind of worked. They didn't have to do much of anything but just kind of dig around it. Dig around the dirt a little bit without sweating. And the earth was made because the blessing, the atmosphere, was made to provide. And that's why God made the earth. I got that revelation a few months ago. Shared right on PGN, that the earth is made to provide and bring provision. So all we do is we redeem it by activating Christ's redemption power into the area by walking, praying, doing whatever God says, and cause that redeeming power of God to come in, and just the earth begins to provide. Well, we need to build a house. Like all of a sudden the trees, like
you know, and this is kind of an exaggeration, but the trees just fall over and you know, roll up to your land and start, you know, here I am, build with me. You know, like, in other words, the trees did all the work, so to speak. And they rolled up to your property and said, we're going to build. You know, it's like the trees are there even trying to help. Like, instead of going out and chopping and cutting in, you know, dragging them out there, sweating like that. It's like, you see what I'm saying? The earth, God made the earth to provide. He made those trees that, or however God, to build houses and to have things for his people to live in. And the trees know they're there for that reason. And God made them like that. That's why the tree thing and the hugging the tree thing is pretty cool. I've never hugged a tree exactly, but you know, it's made to provide, and God's showing you that, activating that blessing where my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, the way God made everything to provide for us, with us doing a little bit of work, a little bit of digging around, you know, not cutting down trees. The trees just, I need a house. The trees go, yeah, here I am. And they fall over, roll over to your house, so to speak. That kind of thing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open that up, God. Open that up, God. You're teaching us how to walk by the glory of God. Walk in the glory, like Adam and Eve did. Walk in the glory. So provision just shows up. Like when Solomon activated, when God activated Solomon, I mean, the blessings came. He had to tell them, stop it. Too much gold, too much silver. Tell them to stop bringing it in. We don't need any more. We got too much. Right? Yeah. Because there's something got activated where the people just started. God just, you know, here you go. No, here you go. Here you go. Here. That's the way God made everything to happen. Well, we got to tell it that we, you know, the trees start rolling up to your property to build a building where it's like, you go, no, that's enough trees. Don't, no, not anymore. We got plenty. Like, stop. And they did all the work, so to speak. And Solomon's going to build the temple. You know, the people just kept, he tapped into something, and all of a sudden he didn't have to do hardly anything except flow in wisdom. That was it. And God just said, here it comes, boy. Woo! Mountains of blessing. Mountains of blessing falling on you. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yeah. Amen. All right. Veronica, thank you for the 10. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Es Jesus. Alabanza, he's a Christian. I'm never going to say that, but I got to say, she's a Christian. Spanish church and all that. And love. The people are just, I mean, the Spanish people, just the love for God and the passion for Jesus. It was amazing. I mean, you talk about passion, bro. Girl, I mean, God unlocking that passion, and then God, it's like a horse when we this stallion that's just, you know, wild and crazy, and we put a bridle in his mouth, it becomes so, it uses all of its passion, but to get things done. It uses all of its passion to do what, you know, God has called man and horse to work together to get things done, right? Not just to run around. And the beautiful and, you know, stallions, whatever, he made horses because Jesus rides horses. And I thank you, Lord, for showing the Veronica, God, that you want to ride her. You want to ride her like you ride a horse, that there's all that passion inside of her as he puts the bridle in her mouth, God. And she begins to just as Jesus just begins to, like, look like he's going to go to the right. She goes to the right. And Jesus looks like he wants her to stop. She just stops. But very little do this and do that. It's like there's just this communication in Jesus' name with the reins, you know, just that, you know, they really, there's no binding, there's no, you know, getting the thing and whipping them and, oh, go, you got it. Like, you just know when to go, how to go, go to the right, go to the left. And I think you, Jesus, that with Veronica, God, that you show her that, what, I used to have a whippy horse, a whippy quarter horse. And that thing was so smart. I would ride it bareback, and I would, you know, heel it to the right, its right side, and it would turn to the right. Do the left turn. It was smart, man. That thing was, that baby doll was smart. And I wish I'd have known more about how to work with them, because I didn't know how to work with them much. But that's what I see with you. I see God really, you know, you know, you thinking like when Jesus rides a horse, I think that horse and Jesus are so one that he didn't even have to really do anything. The horse knows exactly where he wants to go and just goes there before he even has to say anything. Like that spirit of obedience, you know, and that oneness with Christ. And hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, Terrence 291. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for Terrence, God. I thank you, Father, for the light shining, for turning on the light. It's like lights, camera, action. Lights, camera, and action. Whoa. What is that? Lights. The light is like I don't have the studio right now, but I got lights right here. I turn them off. Can you see me real? Light. You have to have light. Light. Light focuses in on, you know, and in a studio situation, the lights, you know, are there to bring you out like you really look, you know, to show your facial. And, you know, if you have to have the light just right, when the light's just right, it shows you just exactly what you look like. And the lighting is a big thing in the studio. It is huge in the studio, Terrence. You may know this already. I don't know. But lights, camera, that's what our lights, camera, action. And what's a camera do? Cameras are very important because if you can have great lights, but if your cameras are not working good, they're not focused right, and nothing that, you know, I mean, it just messes up everything. And then the action is, you know, the cameras are there to connect you to the world. The cameras are there, and the system of the camera is to connect you to the people that are trying to watch you, trying to see you, trying to connect with you, where they can see what you're really like, where they can see what God is doing. That's a performance. Performance is Christ in you doing things through you, and you agree with it. So this whole thing about lights, camera, action, for God showing you that, you know, getting the light right, getting the light shining right, the gospel of Christ Jesus, the light shining on you and Christ in you, that be done right so they can see exactly what Christ is like in you, your facial expressions, who you are as a person, the expressions of yourself, who you are, and be able to manifest all that. And then, of course, the action is really, you know, getting it going where, you know, people can actually watch and see and go see what's going on. They can connect with you from all over the world. That's what's cool about cameras, and they're connected to this, to, you know, the globe, to the satellite, is that they, you know, they see, they can be with you without being there. And spirit of God in you to be able to connect that and make that connection. You know, yeah. So that was kind of a little different. I don't know what that was exactly, but that was awesome. My God, it's amazing. And for Tanya, $26, thank you, Tanya. Pray for Zena and we, or V, is it we? W-E, it's V, that's V. So I have my glasses on. Go back and see that. Thank you, Tanya. I mean, Tanisha. Yeah, Zena and V. Well, we thank you for Zena. We thank you for Zena, God. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of peace to settle, you know, the anger and feeling like somehow Zena feels like she's been robbed. She's been robbed. And this goes back to her childhood, none of it, being robbed. And so, you know, it's like that vindication thing is really, when you see the root of it, it's not about what's going on with her today. It's about what went on her when she was a child. I don't know if she was sexually assaulted. I'm not sure what the deal was exactly. But something went on where she was robbed of her purity, robbed. And when she was robbed, it's going to happen when she was, 10, 11, 12. I don't know how she was, maybe a teenager. And something got robbed with her. Maybe she's never told anybody. I don't know. So as you pray that God settles that and helps her settle that where she doesn't. Because when you feel robbed, you're always trying to take things. When you feel robbed, you're always trying to, you know, get something over somebody because you feel like you've been taking advantage of it. You're trying to get it all back no matter what it takes. And so, you know, a lot of people are like that, that have been robbed. They've robbed of their virginity, robbed of their parents, robbed of life, robbed of, you know, that whole thing. So we pray that God will settle that in Zena's heart, God, where she will
be released and let go of that. And you'll heal that in her life, God, in Jesus' name, that she will be able to, turn the other direction in Jesus' name and be able to give life, be able to appreciate life, be able to appreciate things and love things in Jesus' name. And over V, Lord, I pray for V, God, that V will, the broken heart or something, the brokenness of V, God, we thank you for V, God, that V will, the brokenness that's in V will begin to be made whole, that I speak over V to be made whole, in Jesus' name, from all the distractions, all the, it's like V can't seem to focus on what they need to focus on, so there's confusion there, there's mishaps that happen because of it, and I thank you, Jesus, for correcting that, God, for going to the root of the issue, for going to that stomach issue, some kind of dread or fear, it's like fear and dread at the same time, God, that you settle that in Jesus' name, that you wash that, you cleanse that, God, in V's life, in the name of Jesus, and restore hope, and restore peace, and restore that you will pick up for V, God, if we will let you do it, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I speak congenial. All right. Hang on, I'm getting distracted a little bit myself. No respect for Tanisha tonight, God. I was looking for a word there. Okay. Lord, for V's ability to perceive things, to perceive the truth, to perceive what's right, to perceive what's really going on, to take the blinders off, God, to perceive, the ability to perceive that perception, the right perception, in Jesus' name, that grace and mercy and your compassion, Father, that you open up the eyes, open up V's eyes in Jesus' name, see and love and know and there it is. There's that one again. Hang on a second. Okay. Congenial, pleasant because of a personality. Of a person, pleasant because of a personality. Qualities or interests that are similar to one's own. Congenial, I don't know, a thing pleasant or agreeable because suited to one's taste or inclination. Okay, I don't know what that is exactly, but congenial, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for pouring that spirit, the spirit of God, of the God, to connect with that, in Jesus' name, feed that in diseased life, let it become real, and the passionate, in Jesus' name, the cry of these hearts, be made manifest that and answer prayers, answer the cry of the heart, compassion and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And Tanisha, thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God. I thank you for that, for God, like I see a crown or like a halo. It looks like a halo, but I want to call it a crown at the same time. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But God rewarding you, crowning you with a halo. I mean, it sounds crazy, but how can a halo be a crown? I don't know what that is. But God, putting that light, it's like it's a light. The halo is like a light. Yeah, halo has like a light on it. It's a crown. It's like God crowning you with the mind to think clearly, the mind to think the way God thinks about somebody, the way God thinks about something. You know, like when Christ thought about, the way Christ thought about certain people, how he had compassion on them, how he, spoke rough to the people who were hindering the gospel. Spoke rough to the Pharisees, wasn't afraid to do that. He thought, the way he looked, the way he thought about things, the way he saw people, he knew exactly what to say to them to get them to think about the right thing. Like some people would be a little rough with, if they were a little bit rough themselves, then the sheep, then he would talk to a completely different way to other people. He could talk to a child or talk to anybody and relate to them. And God's really opening that up to you. Amen. So that relational thing in Jesus' name to relate to all people, whatever they need. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the power of that, that the ability to connect and communicate. Her communication skills, God, I'm asking you to anoint that. She's already anointed, but I'm asking you to anoint it at another level in the name of Jesus, where it's totally, it's just supernatural. You can have a natural gift, and when God starts, you know, when you do the best you can with your natural gift that God gives, then the supernatural kicks in, and it goes in there and starts working. It starts doing things. And the communication skill, where you're not just communicating with, you know, with people, you're communicating God, Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God is communicating through you. Christ is communicating through you. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the difference. You know, so we use the gifts God gives us the best we can. We're faithful with that, loyal with that, and then, you know, do this. And then when we come to the end of ourselves and God, we need more, then God, because you're faithful with that, God pours in his Spirit and supernaturally anoints that communication skill where you can communicate by the Holy Ghost, communicate in tongues, communicate and speak to diseases, speak to sicknesses, speak to mountains, and communicate. So whatever we need to communicate to get the job done, it's a communication thing. Jesus could communicate the mountains and move mountains. Jesus could communicate the water and the water would hold him. You know, you see what I'm saying? Because he communicated. He was the Word. Amen. Communication. All right, Carmen, $330. Carmen, God bless you from Texas. Hey, Carmen, you're going to love this because today when I know you asked for our address to make sure you had the right address. And so I sent that to you. So I know you're going to be sending something, but I didn't know when exactly and or what. But I went to the mailbox today, and, of course, your mail was there. Well, the cool thing about it is that I went and got your mail. I never know when I'm going to go exactly. Sometime in the afternoon. You know, the afternoon is when they come. But I never know when exactly. Could be 7 o'clock at night. Could be 2 in the afternoon. Anyway, so I'm over there, and I get the mail. I get in the truck. I open it up, and it was $330, right? And so I said, thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. So I'm going to go put it in the bank. So on my way to the bank, I looked up, and it was $330. Honestly, it was $330. I just went. I wish I'd have taken a picture of it, but I didn't. And I was just like, oh my gosh! And it was just amazing. I don't know if it was exactly 3:30 when I got it in my hand. I'm not sure exactly. So as I began to go to the bank, I looked up, fuck you, what time was? It was 3:30. You know, it's unbelievable. It was like, wow, amazing. So it's like there's something about the connection of those of timing. If your offering was 3:30, right? And when I got in my truck and started driving, I don't know, it might not have been 3:30 when I got in the truck and locked it. But by the time I took off, you know, I've been down the road a block or so, and I look at the clock and it was 3:30. I went, oh my gosh, the check is 3:30. So this whole thing about timing and your offering, isn't it amazing how that lined up? I mean, that was shocking to me. And last night on the show, when you responded to, I was ministering to Angela about a car dealership called Carn Auto, as you remember that, you were listening, Carn, C-A-R-N, Auto. It was an auto company, you know, car dealership. And so you had something, you know, and you shared it, you sent it to me, and I caught the text, and I'm reading it. And then you said, this is Carmen. And I looked down there, and I thought, we're praying over a car dealership, and Carmen sends this message. And you know, I got that last night. You know, I talked about it last night. There's just something going on with that. Like there's a timing. There's a, you know, you answered, you know, the only person who responded to that who got something from God, you know, and said something about it. It was so cool how that all lined up together. And then today, when I went to pick up your, you know, going to the mailbox, it was, you know, I don't know exactly when it turned 3:30, but within a block or so of it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, wow.
So timing, blessing, things, you know, coming together, it's just happening. It's just amazing. So, Lord, I thank you for blessing her, God, blessing her for her obedience, blessing her that she's in your timing, that in Jesus, all that's coming together in the name of Jesus. That like last night when you answered to praying over a car company, Carn Auto, and then your name is Carmen instead of Carmen, and the company I was praying for was Carn, not M, but N. You know, all that. Just, I mean, all that stuff. Just like I noticed that. I don't know what all it means, but it's like amazing. And then today, the timing thing. So I know that, you know, if had all that not happened, I would have probably connected all that. But I'm, you know, I don't know what it means exactly, but something to do with timing, something to do with connection, something to do with your obedience. Like when you sent that text, you know, and that I realized Carmen, pray for a car company, all that glued together. It was awesome. Jesus, hallelujah, do it, God. Pour in there. Do the amazing. Do the miraculous, God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done by the power of God. Amen. Come together right now. Coming together, the timing. Yeah, in Jesus' name. You're in the timing of God, girl. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what the Lord's trying to say. That is amazing. Wow. Awesome. Two nights in a row, 2 days in a row. Wednesday night prayer when you sent that thing. The car, Car and Auto, Carmen. And then today with that, like, went back to back. Like 30:30, 3:30, and 3:30 p.m. Back to back. You know, double witness. Yeah. So, man. All right, Nicole, $439.46 or 49 cents. What is it? Yeah. And thank you, Jesus, for opening up. 439.46. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. God, I thank you, Lord, for the favor around God in her life. You're showing her your favor. You're opening up your favor to her, and it's not about trying to get it. It's just simply about doing what God tells you to do, whatever the little thing, big thing. Sometimes the little things add up. I mean, just like, you know, things you do that pursuing God in some little way, you know, it's just as important to God as the big things that you do, that God is doing. So he's going to put together the little things that you do, the big things you do, and show you that sometimes it's the little things that do the most powerful thing. It's a little bit of obedience. Like God tells you to do it, you just do it. Like, okay, no big deal. Boom. And you know, so when that begins to happen, you find yourself like going, God, you know, with very little bit of action, very little bit of everything, you know, I mean, I just simply obeyed you, and then the actions that come behind that, in Jesus' name, it's the action realm, you know, we plant in water, but God gives the increase. The increase is the action. Amen. So God moving you to that place where plant seed, water it, and God gives the increase. That's the act. God gives the action. It's not like we even have to do anything about the action. God does it. We do our part, plant water, so, you know, obey, and then the action just comes. The things just grow. The things just happen. Excuse me, in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for that favor realm, for the favor realm. In Jesus' name, opening up that realm of favor, Jesus. Hallelujah, because she's coming into agreement with you. When you come into agreement with God, God goes, I can trust you. When you come into agreement with God and you do what God says, what I'm hearing right now is that it's just as important to God when you do those little things, Nicole, as it is the big things. And we think, man, that was a big thing. Well, that was really God really smiling. Yeah, he smiled on that little thing as much as he did on the big thing. Because to him, it's obedience. To him, it's like, just obey. And so he smiles on the little things and smiles on the big things. He smiles on all of it because it's all obedience to him. And that favor, because God goes, I can trust you. In Jesus' name. So that that's the activation realm. Activation realm, God, in Jesus' name. Bring forth, bring forth, bring forth,
deliver the goods, the actions, the good, the good, the goodness of God, the good, the goods of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Wow. Greg, $20. Thank you, Greg, for your love for God, man. Thank you for how you favor the people that you favor. You know, God's just going to give you favor. You know, favor, he's going to give you favor to favor people with. And so when you favor the people that God's favoring, like Jesus favored, you know, he would favor, you know, a sinner. And he would favor a whore, a prostitute. He favored, you know, the woman who was caught in an act of adultery. He favored her. And so God could trust Jesus because Jesus would yield to the favor of God, and that favor would favor people. You know, when he favored her, you know, of course, you know, the other people who weren't favoring her, wanting to kill her, the favor of Christ, you know, that favored her is what, you know, okay, he gave the answer and said, well, you know, which one of you has no sin? Yeah, so the favor that he showed toward her gave him answers for her, right? And so when we favor the right people, God gives us wisdom and answers for them, right? Sometimes we're in favor of, the Bible says don't, when the rich people come in with the rings and all this stuff, and we say, oh man, they could give some big money in here, so we better put them, you know, in the right place. And God, Jesus says, you know, if you, or maybe it's James that says, when somebody comes in, do you favor them, put the poor man in the back, put the rich man in the front, you know, to honor them. And the Lord says, you know, favor who I favor. Don't favor people because they're exteriorly whatever. Favor people who I favor. When I'm favoring the poor and the needy, favor the poor and the needy. If I ever favor the rich, then favor the rich. There are some rich people that Jesus definitely favored. Job. Job was definitely favored, and he was rich, but he was a humble man, right? So God looks at things completely different than we do, but when he gives you favor, all of a sudden you start liking somebody. Like, why do I like that person? Well, you could like them because they could be your wife. You could like them because they could be your next good friend. You could like them because God wants to give them an answer through you. You could like them, you know, you favor them because something's going on. So God's showing you how to live in the favor realm. It's just about God giving favor to you, but it's about you giving his favor the way he favors somebody for a reason, for a purpose, and you start walking in that and delivering those goods to those people. Amen? Isn't that cool? I love it. I love this stuff. It's amazing. The wisdom of God is amazing, man. Who'd have ever thought about this? Not me. All right, Marja, $30. God bless you, Marja. In Jesus' name, God, I think I see like a some kind of a rhythm, some kind of a heartbeat, some kind of a thing inside your spirit. Like, can't tell if that's music. I can't tell if that's a beat, like a certain beat, or I can't tell what that is exactly. But it's like a spiritual rhythm, a spiritual heartbeat, a spiritual sound. I don't know what is that, Lord? What is that? And it's inside you, and it's like the heartbeat of God. It's like the sound of the Spirit. It's blasted in my ears. And so something's been birthed inside you. Maybe when you got saved, it got birthed. I'm not sure what has happened exactly. But something's been birthed inside you that can, like, when you pray or when you talk or when you sing or when you, whatever you're doing for God, there's some kind of a power in your tongue that penetrates. There's some kind of power in your tongue that activates. There's some kind of power about the Spirit of God inside of you that when you release that, when you pray that, when you do that thing, whatever that thing is, and you learn how to release from your gut, out of your belly, rivers of living water, and that thing, it's powerful, girl. It's powerful. It moves things. It penetrates walls. And it's not, you know, it's not just you. As you know, it's the Holy Spirit in you. It's that sound. It's that vibration. Like the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, but like a rushing mighty wind, a sound. It's a sound. And that's what I heard when me and you, that sound. In Jesus' name, and I loosen that sound, God, in her right now by the Spirit of God, the sounds of heaven, the sounds of the wind of God. She releases that and lets that go out of her. She's going to find results happening in Jesus' name. Amen, in the name of Jesus. All right, Shannon.
Shannon, $10. Thank you. Will you pray for my wife to connect my wife? Yes. Amen. I just agree with, you know, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for activating, Father, just this whole thing of activating that, that Shannon's faith in you, God, activates the one that belongs beside him in Jesus' name, activates the love that's in him to connect to the love, that, that the love of God will get outside of him, get to the outside of him where it can be seen, to where it can, you know, when you walk in love, love of God, it draws people. People are drawn to love. You know, they're drawn to friendship. They're drawn to kindness. They're drawn to realness, being real on anything. And so I thank you, Lord, that is Shannon, just himself. He's just who he is. And not putting on air, not trying to be somebody he's not. You know, this is me in the rough version, whatever. I'm not hiding anything, anything. I'm just me. You know, and people love that. And they love that when you're just being yourself. You know, hiding things, not hypocritical, not, you know, just who I am, who I am. And people go, well, wow. I'd rather have somebody I know that they're being who they are than somebody's got a lot of things hidden that I can't see. That I say, when am I going to find out what's really going on with this? You know, when you're real, people get, they feel safe with you. And God, I thank you for opening it up that this woman that you're drawing him will feel safe with him, God. Will feel safe with him, Jesus. Hallelujah. The safe for him. Women want to feel safe. They want to know that, you know, you're teachable, that you're learnable. They'll take us on our imperfections, and if they know that you're teachable, then they keep their hope going on. You know, right? Same thing us with them, but that's what they look for. So open that up, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done in the name of the Lord. All right. I think that's actually it. Hallelujah. All right. If you try getting on the site and the site was down, it's up. We got it going on again. Even Facebook got knocked off. We got out of that, Facebook, and I don't know what else going on with that. But all right, we were knocked off too. We've been off for like a week. On back on again. We went in there and did some stuff. So, all right, awesome, everybody. Thank you for letting me pray for you, for letting the Lord speak to you, encourage you, build you up. And God is good. Thank you for all that. And we will look forward to seeing you guys next week. So if nobody else gives in the next few minutes, I'm going to move on. All right, really good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay, cool. Really, really cool. All right, we found out today that we have this ranking in Uganda. PGN is ranking very well in Uganda. I got this sent to me from podstatus.com. Gave me ratings here of what we're rated at in Uganda. This is new to me. Your podcast, PGN, has good performance in Apple Podcast ranking. The last 30 days. Position 27 in category Christianity, Uganda. 39 in category religion and spirituality in Uganda. United Kingdom, not a lot more people, I guess, there. 141 position in United Kingdom. Amen. And in Christianity. All right, that's kind of Uganda. I didn't know they were hearing us from Uganda. Speak to us, Ugandanites. Love to hear from you. All right. Really cool. All right. Very cool. Nice to be with you guys tonight. Thanks for being with us. And may God bless you. And may you hear the sounds of heaven and flow with it. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you later. Enjoyed it. Here we go. Bye-bye.